ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितां येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टां स्थापितां येन भूतले स्वयं रूपगता मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्. वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदां सहगणललितां श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च. नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिधि नामिने. नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवि गौरवाणि प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यादेशतारिणे. नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिसिद्धान्त सरस्वती नामिने. श्रीवर्षभानविदेवि दैदाय कृपाब्धये कृष्णसम्बन्धविज्ञानं दायिने प्रभवे नमः. माधुर्योज्ज्वलप्रेमाद्य श्रीरूपानुगभक्तिदा श्रीगौरकरुणाशक्ति विग्रहाय नमोऽस्तु ते. नमस्ते गौरवाणि श्रीमूर्तये दीनधारिणे रूपानुगविरुद्धापसिद्धान्तद्वन्द्वहारिणे. नमो गौरकिशोराय साक्षाद्वैराग्यमूर्तये विप्रलम्बरसाम्बोधे पदाम्बुजाय ते नमः. नमो भक्तिविनोदाय सच्चिदानन्दनामिने गौरशक्तिस्वरूपाय रूपनुगौराय ते. गौराविभवभूमेस्तु निर्देष्टा सज्जनप्रिया वैष्णवसार्वभौम श्रीजगन्नाथाय ते नमः. वाञ्छकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. नमो महाबलन्याय कृष्णप्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनाम्ने गौरत्वशे नमः. पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशात्विकम्. हे कृष्णकरुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगल्पदे गोपेश गोपिका कान्द राधा कान्द नमोऽस्तु ते. जयतां सुरतो भङ्गोर्मम मन्दमदेर्गति मत्सर्वस्वपदां भोजौ राधामदनमोहनौ. वृन्दारण्यकल्पद्रुमोदौ श्रीमन्द्रत्नाकरसिंहासनस्थौ मद्राधाशीलगोविन्ददेवो प्रष्टालिभिः सेव्यमानौ स्मरामि. श्रीमन्द्रासरसारम्भि वंशीवटतटस्थित कृषन् वेणुस्वनेर्गोभिर्गोपिनाथाश्रियेऽस्तु न. तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये. जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्रीयद्वैतगदाधार श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द. हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवतां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवतीम् अष्टादशाध्यायिनीम् अम्ब त्वामनुसन्ददामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी. नमोऽस्तु ते व्यासविशालबुद्धे फुल्लारविन्दाय तवत्र नेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्णप्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमयप्रदीपाम्. प्रपन्नपारिजाताय तोत्रवेत्रैकबाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः. सर्वौपनिषदो गावो दुग्धा गोपालनन्दन
పార్థో వల్స సుధీర్ భోక్తా దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహత్ వసుదేవ సుదం దేవం కంస చాణూరమర్దనం దేవకీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం భీష్మద్రోణదడాజయద్రత జల గాంధార నీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవదీ కృపేణ వహనీ కర్ణేన వేలాకుల అశ్వత్థామా వికర్ణ ఘోర మకర దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సోతీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణ నదీ కైవర్తక కేశవ పారాశల్యవజ సరోజమమలం గీతార్థగంధోల్కటం నానాఖ్యానక కేసరం హరికథా సంబోధనాబోధితం లోకై సజ్జన షల్పదైరహర పేవీయమానం ముదా భూయాద్ భారత పంకజ కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే మూకం కరోతి వాజాలం పంగుం లంఘయరే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం యం బ్రహ్మా వరుణేంద్ర రుద్రమరుద స్వన్వంది దివ్యైస్తవైర్ వేదైర్ సాంగపదైర్ క్రమౌ పరిషదైర్ గాయంతి యం సామగాహం ధ్యానావస్థిత తద్గదేన మనసా పశ్యంతి యం యోగినో యస్యాంతం న విదుసురా సురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. సెవెన్ క్యాంటో చాప్టర్ 9 వర్స్ 30. That's what we were discussing yesterday. Ekastvameva jagadetamushayal tvam adyandayo pratagavasyasi madhyatascha srishtva gunavyadikaram nijamayayedam naneiva dairavasidastadanu pravishtaham tumva idam sadasadishapavamstadonyo mayayadalpavarabuddhiriyam hyavartha yadyasya janmanidhanam sidirikshanam cha tadvaitadeiva vasugalavadashtitarvoham nyasyedamalmini jagadvilayambhu madhye శేషయత్మనా నిజ సుఖానుభవో నిరీహ యోగేన మీలిత దృగాల్మని వీత నిద్రతుర్యే స్థితో నతు తమో న గుణాంశయుంక్షే తస్యైవ దేవ విరితం నిజ కాలశక్త్యా సంచోదిత ప్రకృతి ధర్మణమాత్మగూఢం అంభస్యనంద శయనాద్విరమల్సమాధేర్ నాభేరభూల్ సుకణిగా వడవన్ మహాబ్జం తల్సంభవ కవిరదోన్యత పశ్యమానం త్వాం బీజమాత్మని తదం సుబహిర్విచింద్య నావిందశతమప్సు నిమజ్జమానో జాదే అంగురే కథము ఉహోబల లభేద బీజం సత్వాత్మయే నిరతి విస్మితం ఆస్థితోబ్జం కాలేన తీవ్ర తపసా పరిశుద్ధ భావ త్వామాత్మనీష భువి గంధమివాది సూక్ష్మం భూతేంద్రియాశయమయే విత్తతం దదర్శ. సో యెస్టర్డే we were talking about the what Prahlada had to say to us is that the mind, our mind, which is goes to the world, outside world, it picks up various things and feeds it inside. And he said, if you go out in the world and look for some answer, you won't get it because it's not there. And in relationship with the science, you can see that, what is happening there. Science is saying to us so many things. Every time it's changing also, because the nature of Maya is such that it will not allow you to have any perfect conclusion from the external world. So we talked about this example that the way Shastram says that so many things are happening in the creation, in Brahmandam, in the universe. And if you go after them thinking that they will find an answer for your question, it is not going to happen. That's the first and important thing. It is in that connection they said that Drika and Drishyam, the one who is seeing from inside and what you are seeing outside. What you are seeing outside is not important. The one who is seeing is more important. if you keep going after the drishyam, you will not get anywhere. You won't get anywhere. It will keep on going like this for the rest of the life. That is the rishis' conclusions to us. Rishis are saying to us that. So just like you can see, sometimes even the scientific conclusions, they don't last very long. After some time, the scientific theories are also changing. Somebody has given a new theory and it lasts for some time, and somebody else comes later and you put the whole thing back into the bin and start with another theory. So that is why Rishi says to us that everything what you are seeing outside, because it's coming from Maya, Maya will only show you this Drishya Pravanjam. Drishya Pravanjam means that's what you are seeing outside. And the secret of this creation is not possible to find out. That is the Rishi's conclusion. Don't look for that, because that's what science is trying to do. The secret of this creation, isn't it? Big Bang theory, this theory, that theory, one theory after the other. They are always there. Now they have this Hadron Collider and all that. It's all the idea behind that is to find out where the creation has come from. Rishis are saying is, don't waste your time. Maya will not allow you to find that out. It will never be possible. That's why here he is saying here, Tal Sambhava, look at that 34th verse, Tal Sambhava Kavirado Nyadabashyamanam Tvam Vijamalpanitadam Subahir Vijindya Navindad Abdashadamapsu Nimajjamanu Jade Angure Kadam Upoho Muhobalabheda Bijam. Is saying that in Mahavishnu's navel, the lotus flower has come, and there Brahma is there on that lotus flower. Kavihi, another name Brahma is Krantadarshi. That means he is the Kavi. Kavi means one who is thoughtful person. And first time, who was born there? Pradama Jadan. There are so many names Brahma has got. How many? Innumerable names Brahma has. So, Hiranyagarbham, another name for Brahma. Prajapati, another name for Brahma. So, in this way, if you ask what is actually his name, he has no name. Brahma really has no name. Brahma is also not a name. It is a position that's given, like a title it is, creator in that sense. But because he was the first person in the creation, and because he is the person who inquired first time, who am I? That come from him. He didn't know who he is. That's how the problem started. He was sitting on the lotus flower, and he was thinking, who am I? He didn't do the same mistake what we are doing. We are thinking, where is this world coming from? As though you know who you are. But Brahma is saying, Brahma's first inquiry was, who am I? Before inquiring about anything else. He looked everywhere, he couldn't see anything. And that's when the word tapa tapa came from the sky. But when he sat on the lotus flower, he thought himself, how did I come here? Who am I and why am I here? And because he kept on asking, who am I, that became his name. Who am I? That's Brahma's actual name, is who am I? It is mentioned in the Bhagavatam that because nobody was there to give him a name. He came from the lotus flower, he sat there, and then because he kept on asking, who am I, therefore that became his name. Who am I? That's his name. So, in Vedam, Brahma's name is Who Am I. All through the Vedam, his name is Who Am I. Now, so therefore, you will see in the Bhagavatam how that's spoken. If you look into the third canto, you will see how Brahma started this inquiry. Third canto. It is in the 8th chapter. 18th verse. Ka esha yosa avaham abja prashta edal kudova abjam ananyadapsu astikyadastha adiha kinjanetam adishtidam yatra sadanu bhavyam. Ka esha yosa avaham abja prashtam edal kudova abjam ananyadapsu astikyadastha adiha kinjanetad adishtidam yatra sadanu bhavyam. So there you can see ka esha. Ka esha. So from there Brahma got the name Kaha. Kaha means who. Who am I in that words? So he kept on asking this question, who am I? Who am I? And because there was nobody to give him a name, Brahma didn't have a name. And he alone kept asking, what's my name? What's my name? Who am I? And then he realized that by asking that question, he realized the answer is his own existence, that I am existing, that awareness inside him. He started experiencing that as his existence, that there is an experience of his own existence inside. And he wanted to find out what is the nature of this awareness. Where is this coming from? Because when we ask this question, who am I, who am I? You are asking this question, yeah? From inside you are getting a response in the way that you are existing, isn't it? Your existence is there, every one of us. We exist. That existence is the only reality for us at the moment. Even when the body drops away, existence is still there. We don't die. The body dies, but the awareness still exists. And that does not go away in the vacant state, dream state, or the deep sleep. So, he wanted to find out, anyatabhasyamana. He wanted to find out that what is that? He could not find anything separately from him. All he knew was this awareness inside, existing. Like when you have the self-inquiry, you will also know this existence of yourself. That becomes stronger. And initially it may not be, but as you make these inquiries deeper, you will become conscious of your own existence, of awareness of your own existence. So, but separate from that, you are not conscious of anything else. So, and it is from there that the secret of creation, or the seed of the secret of creation, is lying in that awareness. Rishis found this out. Rishis' point is, Rishis means the sages, what they are saying to us, you are looking for the creation process. How did this whole creation come? And you are trying to find out from the world outside how this has come about, isn't it? But Rishis are saying the first person who came into existence, Brahma, when he sat on the lotus flower, he asked the same question, who am I? And it is from that question what he asked, creation has come. How? Because he understood that when he asked that question, the initial response from inside is this awareness of his own existence. Awareness of his own existence. That is where everything is coming from. Without that awareness, it's no point in thinking about the rest of the things, what has already come outside. Origin of everything is from that awareness, it has begun. So, he's saying here that the Brahma's inquiry was a little different than the scientist's inquiry. Brahma inquired inside. Brahma did, because there was nothing outside for Brahma to inquire about. So therefore he inquired inside and he found out that the very question of the seed of this creation has to come from inside. Has to come from inside. That is why it says here, that, see that 34th verse, tal sambhava. These verses are pretty difficult verses unless you think a little bit into it. Tasyaiva deva puridam nichakala shaktya sanjodida pragdi dharmanam almagutham അംഭസ്യനന്ദശയനാദ്വിരവത്സമാധിർ നാഭേരഭൂൽ സുകണികാവടവൻ മഹാബ്ജം. That is where Brahma is situated. Then, in the next verse, he is saying here, Tal sambhava kavi adon yadavashyamana tvam bijam altmani tatam subhir vichindya. Bijam altmani tatam subhir vichindya. Bijam altmani tatam means the seed of the creation is inside. That is what he found out. Prahlada is saying here, Bijam altmani tatam. The seed of creation is inside, not outside. That's where things have gone wrong already. The scientists are inquiring after outside for the creation, seed of the creation. But Prahlada is saying to us, Tal sambhava kavi adon adavashyamana tvam bijam altmani tatam subahiran vichindya. Subahiru vichindya navinda dabda shatamapsu nimajjamano jade anguri kadamuhobala bheda bijam. Bijam altmani tatam. Bijam altmani tatam means that the seed from which the tree has come out, the seed is present in the whole tree. The seed is present in the whole tree. Similarly, Brahma found out that this awareness inside, he is present throughout his body, Brahma's body. The awareness inside is present throughout Brahma's body. So he started finding it that if this awareness inside is spread all over my body, then where is that awareness coming from? Where is that awareness coming from? This is how Brahma's way of inquiry. Unlike the science is inquiring so gross way, too gross to think about. The rishis are saying the Brahma's inquiry process is like this. First thing, the awareness is there. Where is this awareness coming from? Because that's the only thing that's permanent in all of us. First thing, that's the important thing. That's awareness is the only permanent thing in this body, isn't it? Gross body is changing. Mind is changing. Intelligence is changing. Ego is changing. Senses are losing its power. So everything, if you look into this body, all of them are bound to disappear one day. They have no permanent existence. But our existence of our awareness never goes away. It remains forever. That's why if you hold on to that awareness, you can get some knowledge of the truth. So Brahma inquired in that way and he found out that he kept go deeper through that awareness. Hold on to the awareness and get to the truth. Get to the truth. So, and he... inside outside inquiring is okay. So bahir, that's why saying there. So bahir vijindya. Bijam altmani tadam so bahir vijindya. Navindadabda shatamapsu. In spite of inquiring everywhere, he couldn't find it still. So then, abda shatamapsu nimajjamano. Nimajjamanam. Because where is the Adishesha lying? Isn't the Karanodagashai Vishnu he is, isn't it? You know what we call Karanodagashai Vishnu? That Karanodagashai Vishnu is lying in the water. So that water is called Karanodagam. Shainam means to lie. Karanodaga ocean, he is lying there. Therefore, he is called Karanodaga Shai Vishnu. You know, Kshirodaga Shai Vishnu, Karanodaga Shai Vishnu. Because that water is called Karanajalam, Karana water. So, because he is lying in the Karanajalam, he is called Karanodaga Shai Vishnu. So, Brahma came about and then he looked and he couldn't find any answer. He went inside searching. He searched outside also. Went into the water and searched. He couldn't find. That's what he's saying there. Navinda shabdam, navinda dabda shatam apsu, apsu nimajjamanam. Apsu means water. He went right deep into the water to find out, is the truth there? He couldn't find there either. And that's like, then he says here, Kadam hobala bheda bijam. Kadam hobala bheda bijam means, that once the tree has come about from the seed, then you won't see the seed anymore. You won't see the seed, isn't it? Once the tree comes out from the seed, then you can't see the seed anymore. Seed, you can't see anymore. So practically you can see the seed has changed and taken the form of the tree. That's what has happened. The seed has changed and taken the form of the tree. So if you keep looking at the tree, you will never see the seed. And that's what is creation all about. Creation happened. But the seed of the creation, we don't know. We are looking, and it is exactly like the tree coming from the seed. Creation. The seed is Krishna. And from the seed, the tree has come, the creation has come. We are looking at the creation all the time. We can't find the seed. And that's what happens, isn't it? From the seed, we plant the seed, and the seed, a tree comes about. Tree comes out. When the tree is fully ready and come out, then you can't see, find the seed anymore. Similarly, in the same way. So, it is in this way we are now. We are looking at the world all the time and trying, where is it? Where is it? How did this come about? And we are looking at the body also in the same way, thinking, why did this body, how did this body come about like this? And if you keep on looking at yourself in this way, you won't find the basis from which everything has come. The basis is different. That's the most important thing. This is only, that's why this example here, Jade Angure Katam Uhobala Veda Bijam, Prahlada is saying. Jade Angure Katam Uhobala Veda Bijam. Jade Angure means that Angura means that sprout. It came about. It has come about. And if you keep on looking at the tree that has come about without seeing the seed, Katam Uhobala Veda Bijam, how will you find the seed? Because already seed has gone, seed has changed into this world. That is why in Vedantam they say, the world is nothing but Krishna. Krishna's another changed form is this world. Krishna changed his form and that is this world. That's what he's saying here. So, if you keep on looking at the world, you won't find the seed behind that. And therefore, he says, on first time he performed many years of tapasya, penances, austerities and penances. And then he heard this word tapa tapa, isn't it? In the third canto, you know, tapa tapa, he says there. So, kept on doing this tapasya. Tapasya means, tapa tapa means jnana vijaram, reflection on the truth. Inquiry, self-inquiry he did. He inquired inside, he inquired outside, he didn't find anywhere. That's why you will see that sattvatmayoni, the next words, sattvatmayoni niradi vismidam astidobjam. Kalena tivra tapasa parishuddha bhava tvam almanisha bhuvi gandham ivadi sushmam bhudendriya ashayamaye vitatam dadarsha sattvatmaye niradi vismidam astidobjam kalena tivra tapasa parishuddha bhava tvam almanisha bhuvi gandham ivadi sushmam bhudendriya ashayamaye vitatam dadarsha. So another name is Brahma's name. Brahma's names are unlimited. Every time he is given different name. Here he is saying Almayoni. That is another name for Brahma. Because why he is called Almayoni? Because he was born from himself. He didn't take birth like us. He was born just like on his own. He took birth, isn't it? So Almayoni. Almayoni and Almayoni, what happened? Adivismida. Adivismida means he was completely in a shock, Brahma. Adivismida, after he was born, he was in a shocking state. Ascharyam, that means he was completely, when he came on top of the lotus flower, and when he looked around, he couldn't find anything. He was in a shock state. Imagine, suppose you are put in some far away place, in distant place, in Arctic Circle or Antarctic Circle, somewhere on your own. Imagine existing there, what will happen at that time? Kalena tivratavasa parishuddha bhavam. He says, he had only one choice left. For Brahma had only one choice. What was that? Kalena tivratavasa parishuddha bhavam. That he was very intense in inquiring. Inquiry was very intense with him. So he won't give up because there was nothing else he could do. Suppose you are put in very lonely in one place and you have nothing to do, what will you do? All you can do is to inquire, isn't it? So that's what he did. Brahma inquired. And because of his serious inquiry, very determined and very intense it was, and that became his tapasya. Tapasya means that austerity and penances he was doing, that it formed a track inside. He got a track inside. That means from somewhere he was getting a track to go there, and it was getting a little clarity inside for him after his severe austerities and penances. Just like you can see when the aeroplane goes in the sky, it leaves a mark there, isn't it? The jetliners, they leave a mark there. Similarly, when the ship goes on the water, it leaves a mark for some time. It remains there and then it disappears. So similarly, Alpayoni also, Brahma also, kept on inquiring about it. And due to that, inside him, it was opening up inside. And he started seeing the truth with some clarity. That is what he's saying there. Kalena tivra tapasa parishuddha bhava tvam almanisha bhuvi gandhamivadi sushmam bhudendri ashayamaye vitatam dadarsha. Brahma's realization, that is. Tvam almanisha. He started realizing that there is some connection with the self inside, the awareness. With the awareness inside has some connection with the truth. He started getting that clarity inside. So what did he find there? When Brahma kept going deeper and deeper inside, he found out everything what is required for creation is lying inside. You see, where did all these material elements come from? He found that all the elements in its most subtle form is lying inside Brahma's body. That's where it is come from. So when Brahma started his inquiry, he went deeper and deeper, and he found that all these five material elements are there, and including mind, intelligence, false ego, everything is lying inside him, inside Brahma. So that is why here all the ingredients necessary for creation is lying inside Brahma. He found that out. And how did he experience that? Just like they give the example that suppose you go into a garden where there's lots of flowers, and suppose there is one flower, just like you can see, I think it's called a lavender. Not the lavenders what you grow these days here, but there is a lavender which is like a creeper. It goes and on a pandal like thing, it spreads around. And especially in the evening hours, it has got such a powerful smell that comes from that. Women put those flowers in their hair because it's such a good smell. It brings a smell. Can buy them in the markets in India. But here they call lavender the other one, isn't it? With that violet color like thing. But it's different. So this lavender, when it is in a big garden, you will particularly notice the smell of that flower because it's so strong compared to all other flowers like roses or any other flowers. Doesn't have that powerful smell what comes from that lavender flowers. So similarly here so from that flower this powerful smell is coming. In a similar way, Brahma, when he kept on inquiring inside, he found that, he says here, bhuvi gandham iva ati sushmam, he says. See there? Tvam almanisha bhuvi gandham iva ati sushmam. Ati sushmam, extremely subtle level, this smell of Atma, he started feeling from inside. Brahma's realization. First Brahma's realization. That's why, tvam almanisha bhuvi gandham iva ati sushmam. Gandham ivadi sushmam. Like the smell comes from a flower, He was smelling Atma inside. Through this awareness, he started the inquiry. Awareness. Aham, aham, aham. That awareness. Who am I? Who am I? Who am I? This inquiry carried on. And finally, it ended up in smelling the presence of the soul inside. Atma inside. That is what he is saying there. Tvam Atmanishabhuvi Gandham Iva Atisushmam. Atisushmam. Extremely, on a subtle level. Budendriyashayamayem. Then, that Budendriyashayam. Budendriyashayam means Panchabhudam. Five material elements. Earth, water, air, ether and fire. And from that five elements, this smell is coming. Smell of Atma is coming from that. And just like extremely subtle but a very divine fragrance. Fragrance of that divinity. Divinity is the soul. Divinity of the soul is smelling from inside. Is smelling from inside. So, these elements what he has got inside, we are seeing the gross side of the elements outside. Elements as, that is why in Shastram they call it as Tanmatra. Tanmatra. For example, earth, water, air, ether and fire is our gross material elements. Its tanmatras are shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam, gandham. Shabdam, sound, touch, form, taste and smell. This is the tanmatra of this five gross material elements. And it is the tanmatra that is present inside, not the gross element. Tanmatra, when it expands, it becomes the matter, gross element. In its subtle form, it is tanmatra. Which one? The material elements. Do you see what I'm saying? That the gross material elements, what you are seeing now in the creation, is a gross form. Its subtle form is this sound, touch, form, taste and smell. These are the subtle forms of that. And the subtle forms called Tanmatra, they are present inside. And in them, from there, somewhere from there, he is experiencing the presence of the soul in a very Gandham Yuvanti Sushmam. In an extremely subtle form, he is feeling the presence of the soul in all of them. In five material elements. All of them. They are present there. So, and Brahma experienced, that is what is called a Spurti. Remember that word, Spurti? Spurti means, yeah, it's a ray that come from the soul. The experience of the soul. A ray of that coming from inside. Chaitanya Spurti it's called. Chaitanya means the soul or the living force. A Spurti of that is coming from inside. And Brahma experienced there. Vitatam gandhamiva adisoshmam. So, just like you experience the smell of lavender in a big garden, that it is there somewhere. In the similar way, he says that it became stronger and stronger for him. And that's what he's saying there. Vitatam dadarsha. See there? Vitatam budendriyashayamaye vitatam dadarsha. Sattvatmaye ye nidati vispidam astit objam. Kale enati ivratavasa parishuddhavava. Tvam atmanishabhuvi gandham iva adisushpam. Budendriyashayamaye vitatam dadarsha. Bodhendri Ashayamaye Vitadam Dadarsha. Brahma experienced that inside. So, from this, what else Upanishad says? Upanishad says, these are all very summarized form of Upanishads in the Bhagavadam. Upanishad says, we are seeing things with our eyes, isn't it? Where is the subtle form of the eye? Is inside. And similarly, the ear with which we are hearing everything. The subtle form of all the ear is inside. Similarly, subtle form of the, that means subtle form of the ear, similarly all the five, all the five senses of knowledge. If you take, the subtle form of all that thing is inside us. Subtle form of the nose, subtle form of the tongue, and that is the five senses, knowledge acquiring senses, Jnanendriya. Eyes, ears, nose, taste and touch. The five senses of knowledge. Their subtle form is inside us. Inside us. And similarly, the five senses of action. Hands and legs were speech power. Vaka, pani, padam, upastham. Our reproductive organs, everything, the five senses of action, its subtle form is also inside. The subtle form is also inside. What else he found? Mind, intelligence, senses, mahatattvam, avyaktam, all of them, the subtle form is inside. See how Brahma's inquiry is different. Brahma found out that all these things which are a part of creation, from which further expanded form is the creation, isn't it? Mahatattvam, avyaktam, all these things, senses, ahankaram, ego, mind, intelligence, everything, and then the five senses of knowledge and five senses of action. All of them, what you find in the creation, the existence, where do they exist? They exist inside our body. Inside our body. It is from there everything has come. It's from there everything has come. So, because living force Atma, we are unable to see. Just like Brahma smelled the presence of Atma in the middle of all of these things, we are unable to see that because we are completely caught up in the rest of it. The other ones. These ones. Which one? Senses of knowledge, senses of action, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, and mahatattvam, avyaktam. Up to all these things which comes from the creation itself, in that we are absorbed into that extent that we are unable to make contact with the soul who is present in all these things in a very subtle form. Very subtle form. So, because all the samagri means the ingredients, what is required for the creation is inside us, and because they are inside us, we are unable to see the Chaitanyam or the living force, what is supporting them from inside. What is supporting from inside? So, when you inquire, that is our self-inquiry process is this, that when you are inquiring, you will find there that at some point, when the inquiry becomes very strong, like the way Brahma did, when the inquiry becomes very strong, just like that the smell comes from that lavender in the garden, somewhere you will start smelling the presence of the soul inside. Presence of the soul inside. And then what else did he notice? Brahma noticed, when he found out that from somewhere that smell is coming of the soul, and that the soul has spread into everything else. The smell is spreading into all the other elements as well. And after that, he had the first darshanam. That's why he's saying here, this is Brahma's first darshanam. Darshanam means the first experience in his spiritual life. Brahma's first experience is this, after Brahma started the inquiry. So he noticed that living force inside, he is holding the hands, that means his hands have come from him, legs have come from him, and all the eyes have come from him, all the noses come from him, all the ears have come from him. That means all the noses, ears, hands, legs, everything, its subtle form is inside him. Brahma noticed that. And it is at that time, this verse is Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. Which one? Sarvada pani padam dal, sarvadokshi shiro mukham. Remember? If you look into the 13th chapter, you will see there. Three verses Krishna spoke. It is in relationship with that state of Brahma. 13-14. Sarvadappani, 14th verse. Sarvadappani padam dal, sarvadokshi shiromukham, sarvadashrudimal loge, sarvam avritya tishtadi. Everywhere are his hands and legs, his eyes, heads and faces, and he has ears everywhere. In this way the super soul exists, pervading everything. this verse is coming from this, Prahlada's this statement. That when he found, when Prahlada found that, Atma inside is spreading to all the senses. Atma's potency is spreading into all the senses, mind, intelligence, everything. So, it is Krishna puts it in this way in the Bhagavad Gita. Prahlada says in this way in the Bhagavad. In the understanding they are one and the same. But the way it's spoken is a little different. And you can see Sarvada Panipadandal Sarvadokshi Shiromukham Sarvada Shudimal Loge Sarvam Avrutya Tishtadi. What else he says? Next verse. Sarvendriya Gunabhasam Sarvendriya Vivarjidam Asaktam Sarvabhrachaiva Nirgunam Gunabhoktracha. Supersoul is the original source of all senses. Yet he is without senses. He is attached, although he is the maintainer of all living beings. He transcends the modes of nature. And at the same time, he is the master of all the modes of material nature. Now, when we read these verses, what do we think? We think in terms of our own body, isn't it? That our own body, we are thinking, what is Brahma? Brahma is the Samashti. Samashti means that if we all put together the whole creation, that is Brahma. Brahma means everything put together. And we are individuals, the little tiny ones. So, 14, 15 and the 16th verse, if you look again. Bahirandascha bodhanam ajaram charame vacha sushmatva tadavijnayam durastam chandike chadad. He says, Bahirandascha bodhanam. The Supreme Truth exists outside and inside of all living beings. The moving and non-moving. Because he is subtle, he is beyond the power of the material senses to see or to know. Although far, far away, he is also near to all. It is from that this verse has come. Although he is far, far away, he is near to, also near to all. He is also near to all. So, what he is saying here is that this living force, what Brahma was experiencing inside, this is all Brahma's realization, what is being spoken about here. That he understood that. Remember, this first incarnation of Krishna is Virat, isn't it? Virat Purusha. Virat Purusha means that who is present everywhere, total manifestation of this. So, Brahma noticed that living force inside, what he was feeling, the presence inside, that is present as Virat Purusha in the whole creation. All senses are operating in that Virat Purusha. Without Virat Purusha's presence, Virat cannot function. So, Brahma noticed that what is present outside is the one that is present inside, in him. In his life. This is the reason why Vedantam says creation is not different from Krishna. If Krishna is not there, creation is not there. It is not that he created it, left it and gone away. That is not acceptable. That is not acceptable in Vedantam. Vedantam is saying that it has manifested. That's why they use the word manifested. And he is present there even today. Now, without him this cannot exist. Without Krishna's presence, the world cannot exist. Krishna didn't create something and then walked out from there. That's the way in other religious processes they say like that. But in Vedantam means Upanishads is saying that at no time he walks away from the situation. He enters into everything, he changes his form every time. Inside in the subtle form, in the form of creation, in a gross form. We are seeing. That's all. Inside us, he is in the subtle form. In a gross form, he is outside. So, therefore, what did Brahma do? Instead of inquiring on a gross situation, he went into the subtle side and did the inquiry there. And that's where he started feeling the presence of the living force inside, Atma there. So, when that happened, Brahma realized that the thing what he is looking for inside him. That's the first realization. And when that happened, he started realizing the self. That is his beginning of the self-realization for Brahma. And with that experience, what is the result of that? He felt satisfied inside. Purnatum. Perfection he started experiencing. He felt, there's nothing to know. Everything is inside me. I don't have to inquire outside. This realization came to Brahma. So, how you can see how this happens. That Namarupam, what we are seeing here, name and form. When you come out of the Namarupam, when once that understanding of Namam Rupam goes away from inside, then you will know how to go inwards. How to go inwards. And finally, you will keep on going and reach that state like the Brahma came to understand that Spurti. Spurti alone exists. And first thing you come to know about the soul is in the form of that Spurti. Chaitanya Spurti. And then that experience of that living force inside in that way is Saguna Sakaram, is called Purusha Vidatvam. And like the Vedam says, Saguna Sagaram as Purusha Vidatvam. Purusha Vidatvam means that at that point in time, for example, now, for us everything is a person now, isn't it? Individual form, name and form, name and form, name and form, name and form. Everything is name and form. Different names, different forms. And when this realization happens, when the name and form disappears from inside, what do we experience at that time? That this experience of these different bodies, what we are experiencing at the name and form, is a universal form of Krishna. Universal form of Krishna. First Vishwarupa Darshanam. That means that like Brahma talked about Virat Purusham. Virat Purusham means who is present inside. In fact, if you read Bhagavadam, whole of third canto, this is what is spoken about. And that's why when you start with Bhagavadam, it's pretty difficult in that third canto. So complex it is, too subtle, and what Maitreya Maharshi was talking to Vidura. So when Maitreya was talking to Vidura, Vidura is completely thinking, what's all this about? Like we are all sitting here and thinking about it. And Maitreya is smiling, seeing Vidura's condition. It is there in the Bhagavatam. Maitreya often was smiling, seeing Vidura's difficulty to get hold of the understanding, what Maitreya was talking about. So third canto is particularly difficult because of this. Then, and that is why, then Angushta Matra Purushaha, that means he noticed that this power inside, or the smell of the soul that is coming through the elements, he started seeing there that this is present in everyone. This present in everyone. That is for us we are talking about, not about Brahma. That this present inside what Brahma was experiencing here, that who is present as Virat Purusha, Virat form, and Angushta Matra Purushaha, Upanishad says there, that Tattvam, that Ishvara Tattvam, everybody started seeing this in others also. In everybody it is existing. In everybody it is existing. Actually, we don't understand the power of the soul. That is our greatest difficulty. We, because of our grossness, we have realized that the body is powerful. Body, we try to make it stronger. Mind, we try to make it stronger. Intelligence, we try to make it stronger. Ahankara, we try to make it stronger. But all these things is not strong. The strongest of all is the Atma inside. He is the most powerful one in all of this. But we, in ignorance, we try to make all the other things stronger. The other things have no strength. Even they get their strength from Atma. Is it not? So, that itself shows the ajnanam in us. The ignorance in us. Isn't it? It shows the ignorance in us. What the rishis are saying to us is that don't try to make the body too strong or the mind too strong, intelligence too strong. That's not going to help, because all of them get their strength from the soul. And strength, and the most powerful of all the things is the soul. Not the body, not the mind, not the intelligence, not the ego. None of them. So, similarly, when they started seeing the presence of all, but the power of the soul is present in all these different parts, like the body, mind, intelligence, everywhere. Power of the soul is present. But in its most pure strength and form, powerful form, is the soul itself. So when you start seeing, like the Brahma saw, that in the different elements also Krishna's presence is there, like we are seeing Krishna's presence in all our body, mind, intelligence, everywhere. Is that a proper way of seeing? It is not. That is what he is saying here. You see there? Evam sahasra, this verse is quite difficult. Evam sahasra vadanangri shirakkaroru nasasya, 36th verse. Nasasya karna nayana bharana yudhadhyam maya mayam, because it's maya. That's the reason. Maya mayam saduba lakshida sannivesham drishtva mahapurusham apamudam virincha. Evam sahasravadana angrishira karoru nasasya karna nayana bharana yudhadhyam mayamayam. That means, it's saying there that the Viral Purushan means we are all part of the Viral Purushan, isn't it? Because Krishna is spread through all of us in so many bodies, so many eyes, so many hands, so many legs, everywhere. Evam sahasravadana angrishira karoru. Sahasram normally means thousand. But here when they sahasra means unlimited, thousands. Sahasravadana angri shiroru shirekaroru nasasya karna nayanam nayana bharana ayudhadhyam. All entities, all living entities, all their senses, everywhere, you start experiencing this presence of Viral Purusha, that Chaitanyam in all these things. But that is mayamayam. Maya means it is mixed with Maya. Is it not? It's mixed with Maya. Why? Because these things are all products of the Maya. Body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, everything is Maya. Because it is mixed with Maya, it is called Maya Mayam. See that? Evam sahasravadana angri shiroru shirakaroru nasasya karnanayana bharana yudhadhyam Maya Mayam. Mayamayam it is. Therefore, because it is mayamayam, that is not the proper way to see the truth. Because it is mixed with maya. Adulterated, in other words. Because maya is present in these things. Maya combined with the living force is what we are seeing now. What we are seeing now. So, but mayamayam. When you see mayamayam, you will not get liberated. Only when it is seeing it at satsarupam. Satsarupam means pure experience of the self, without adulterated by maya. Without adulterated by maya. You have to seeing means not, again, not seeing with the eyes. Huh? Seeing means that you are experiencing. And the experience is called seeing in the darshanam, in the word. The darshanam. The word darshanam means, if you literally translate, it is seeing. But actual word darshanam means experiencing inside. Shad darshanam, they call it. Six darshanam. All six philosophies, Sanghinyayam, Yogam, Vaisheshiyam, Mimamsa, Vedantam, they are all darshanam. Darshanam means that you are experiencing it, realizing it. So, therefore, mayamayam, satsarupam. So, satsarupam means that you have to experience it in its pure form. Pure sat, without adulterated by maya. Adulterated by maya. So, sadubalakshita sannivesham, he says, drishtva mahapurusham apam udam virincham. It is this prayer, what is spoken here, is the Purusha Suktam prayers. Purusha Suktam prayers is an expansion of this verse. So, that Purusha Suktam, the form that is spoken in the Purusha Suktam, where the glorification is in the Purusha Suktam prayers. Purusha Suktam prayers is the one which Brahma and the other demigods recited to glorify Vishnu before Krishna's appearance. That is the Purushottam Sutram prayers. So that form what Brahma has seen, then that is what is here. He puts it in one way. There it says Sahasra Shirsha Purusha, Sahasraksha Sahasravad. That's the Purushottam Sutram prayers. It is spoken like that. Atyadishta Dashangulam. So, Sahasrasesham Devam, Vishwasham, Vishwasambhavam, Vishwam Narayanam Devam, Akshadam Paramambadam. Vedam says all these things in the Upanishads also. So, this darshanam, this experience, what Brahma got, is Vishwarupa darshanam. Presence mixed with Maya in the outside. And you will see this same thing in the Vishnu Sahasranamam also. Vishwasmai Nama. Vishwam Vishnu Vashalkaro Bhudabhavya Bhavat Prabhu Bhudagat Bhudabhat Bhava Bhudatma Bhudabhavana Bhudatma Paramatmaja Muktanam Paramam Gadim. The first verse in the Vishnu Sahasranamam is Vishwasmai Nama. Vishwasmai Nama means that Sahasranam is saying Vishwasmai Nama. Vishnu is Vishwam. World is Vishnu. So, Sarvabhudhandal, Upanishad also says that. So, what is this world? World is, Krishna is sitting in another form. So, Purushottamam means, that's the form what is spoken in the divine vision of Krishna, what Brahma realized in his darshanam, first darshanam. So, what we are talking about it yesterday also, that begin from here, from verse 30. From there onwards, pure Vedantam it is, 30, 31, 32, 33, all of them. So, first what did he say to us? Ekastvameva. There is only one. Jagadeda mushayaltvam adhyandayo pradagavasya simadhyadascha srishtu aguna vidigaram nijamaya yetam nanayivadaira vasidastadanyu pravishtaham. Then, tomvaidam sadasadisha bhavam stadonyo Maya yadatma varabuddhiriyam hyapartha yadyasya jidmanithanam stidirikshanam cha tadvaita deva vasugala vadashtidaruho. So, you have to look at those verses and then quietly progress into the next ones. That's why yesterday's, it's a continuation of one theory or one tattvam is spoken in a gradually expanding it. That's why if you have not understood the earlier ones, the remaining ones won't make any sense. How it is developing, that's what you have to notice there. How the verses are developing the tattvam. Brahma's appearance and first it's spoken, and prior to Brahma's appearance, what was spoken? Vishnu's appearance. Lying in the, yesterday what we talked, lying in the ocean, on top of the snake, Shesha. Mahavishnu is lying. Mahalakshmi at the lotus feet. What is that we talked about yesterday? Adhishthanam is necessary because water is vibrating. Isn't it? Water is always moving. That means, and lying on top of a snake, Shesha. Mahavishnu is lying there. At the feet is Mahalakshmi. In spite of all that, he is in the yoga nidra, half opened eyes and half closed eyes. Yogena milida drigalpani pita nidra. And which state is he? Not state. He is in his existence as turiyam. Turiya avastha. Turiya sthido nadu tamo na gunamsha yumkshe. Three modes of nature is not present there. He is indicating to us, to show to us, that the power of jnanam, knowledge inside Mahavishnu, how it is working. Everything else is changing there. Water is moving. The snake is also frightening. Nobody sleeps on a snake, is it? I never heard anybody sleeping on top of a snake. So why does he say like that? That's what we talked yesterday. The reason behind that is to indicate, normally a snake is a fear, creates fear inside. So, Mahavishnu is not disturbed, even talk, sleep. Or we will say, oh, that's because Mahavishnu is God, he can sleep on top of a snake. That's not a proper explanation to that. It's not answering the whole thing. It's not. whereas all other gods are sleeping much comfortably outside. That's right. So why a snake was chosen as his bed? There's a reason about that. So similarly, sleeping on a snake, and then this beautiful Mahalakshmi at the feet, not disturbed. By Mahalakshmi not disturbed, by the snake not disturbed, by the water that's moving is not disturbed. To show to us the power of that knowledge, what is working within him. So jnanis are also in the same way. So that is that verse. Nisyedam altmani jagad vilayambu madhye sheshe altmana nijasukhanubhavo niriha yogena milida drigad anibida nidrasturye sthito nadodhamo nagunam shayumkshe. There is no modes of nature present in him. And then what happened from that state? So first talked about Vishnu's position. Then from there, the appearance of Brahma is talking about. Tasyaiva deva viridam nija kala shaktya. Kalam is the first force that operated. The result was sanjodhita prakriti dharmanam atmagudham. Then from there the birth happens, and then Ambhasya Anandashaina Advirmalsam Adherna Bhedabul Sohaniga Vadavan Mahabjam. Then from there navel of the Mahavishnu's navel, lotus flower has come and Brahma appeared there. And then the next two verses what we have discussed today is Brahma's realization. So first verse number 30 is talking about the oneness of the truth, the basic Atma which is present in everyone. That is the origin of everything, Brahmam. We address in different way, Brahmam. We call it as Prajna, or you call it as Sutratma. All different names used for the same entity, referring to the same. Pure knowledge, that is, pure consciousness in other words. Beginning from there, it progressed to the presence of the Vishnu. Vishnu's position. From Vishnu, how Brahma has come. That explanation to that. And from Brahma, how Brahma's realizations are coming for Brahma. So that gradual progress is what is spoken in these verses. You have to go through that. Up to verse 29 is bhakti. After 29, it's all jnanam. Have you noticed that? Up to 29, when Prahlada spoke the Stuti, Prahlada Stuti, it's all about bhakti, up to 29 verses, right? And then it suddenly switches on to jnanam, switches on to knowledge. Tal sambhava kavirado onyada vashyamana tvam bijamalpanidam subahir vijindya. And Brahma's experience or Brahma's realizations, how it's building up inside. Brahma becoming realized who he is. That realizations are the one what we are now discussing. So, evam sahasra vadanangri hira karuru nasasya karmanayana bharanayudadhyam mayamayam sadubalakshira sannivesham drishtva mahaburusham avamudam virinjaham. So, in Vishnu Sahasra, there you can see, first Brahma's realization is this, what we call as the Vishwarupa Darshanam. He is seeing inside. Vishwarupa Darshanam is also inside. That is the interesting thing. Did you notice that? We will think normally Vishwarupa means the universal form. That means we will see from outside everything. No, Vishwarupam is seeing inside him. Why? Because all the elements were there, material elements were there in its subtle form, it was present there. And from there, everything he could see how it is developing in a universal form. Vishwarupam. So, Vishwasmayi Nama. So, this divine darshanam, divine vision, Brahma got it, which means Krishna, we are calling different names, Vastu is one. That's the only thing you have to remember. That Vastu, Atma, Brahmam, Parabrahmam, Bhagavan, Paramatma, whichever way you call it, you can call whatever you want, doesn't matter. Or Krishna, whichever way you call it, that Vastu inside is saying here, in the Bhagavad Gita, he is called Purushottama, isn't it? 15th chapter, Purushottama Yoga. He is called Purushottama there. So, unlimited names he has got. Then, 1000 names of Vishnu is there. But that does not mean he has got only 1000 names. He has got still more. His names are unlimited. Unlimited names. But according to the devotees, they have put the different names what they felt comfortable with. They used those names. And that's how 1000 names came about. So, Sarvabhut Antaratma, Upanishad says, who is present in everyone. And Brahma got this vision, darshanam, of Krishna, of Purushottama, in the expanded form of universal form inside him. See? Not outside. For Arjuna it was outside, isn't it? For Brahma it was inside. Yashoda Devi, it was in the mouth. Opened the mouth, Krishna opened the mouth, and Yashoda Devi saw the universal form inside. All within this mouth. And in the Bhagavatam you will see Mahabali, when Krishna expanded, Vamanamurti expanded and lifted the leg to the top. It expanded. So the whole universal form was revealed to Mahabali at that time. Dhritarashtra and was given special vision to see that universal form when Krishna showed the universal form to Duryodhana. So, this universal form is not dependent on our eyes. It dependent on how Krishna reveals to you. That's how it is. Same universal form, and the universal form will be different for different devotees. But it's always universal it is. Whole creation, Krishna can give you an experience of that. Experience of that. Markandeya experienced in a different way. In through the Maya, he was experiencing that. So, whatever it may be, that he is saying here, Maya mayam sadubhilakshita sannivesham drishtva mahapurusham apamudam virinja. Drishtva mahapurusham apamudam virinja. That. Mahapurusham apa. Mahapurusham apa. At that time, he realized, Brahma realized that he is my father. Who was sitting there, and he is my father. And that realization, when Brahma got it, that has become the seed of his liberation. Brahma's liberation. For example, you can see, let us take into the mundane level, in the normal level, a child in the presence of the mother is very happy, isn't it? Because mother is there. When mother is with the child feels very happy, protected, cared, and the child has a total faith and trust in the mother. Mother will take care of all my needs. So dependent on the mother for the child. And similarly, presence of the father also, in a similar way. But that experience of feeling that protection in presence of the father and mother, it is only a drop of the protection what Krishna is offering to us. The protection what you feel in Krishna, because when you are a child, you don't know that your own father, mother is going to die and go one day. And that means that protection is not permanent, isn't it? Only for a very short period of time, a few years, you feel protected by father and mother. But when you grow up, you see father and mother is also dwindling and on their way out. And then it is very difficult to put faith in that also. Father and mother also can't do anything because they are also on their way out. But Krishna's protection, what he was experiencing here, Brahma is saying, that drishtva mahapurusham apamudam virincha. That when you experience that, Krishna's protection, that it is only a drop of that, very small drop, that what you are experiencing in the form of father and mother for the child. And in that Krishna's protection, this protection of father, mother, everything is included. What we feel, protection from father, mother, is nothing but Krishna's protection coming through them to us, through the father and mother, at a certain point in time, in life. That's all it is. That father, mother, when you're feeling some protection from father, mother, Krishna has put it that way, that his protection actually it is. But it comes through the father and mother to us temporarily for a short period of time till you get some strength. In the creation, that's the way Krishna has set it up. So, that is why in the Bhagavad Gita, you know what Krishna says, isn't it? Pitahamasya jagado madha dhata pitamaha vedyam pavitra maungaram rik samam yajurevaja gadi bharta prabhu sakshi nivasa sharanam sahod prabhavam pralayasthanam nidhanam bijamavem. All those verses are coming from that. Krishna is saying that I am the father, mother, everything, grandfather, everything, isn't it? Why does he say that? Because it is Krishna who is coming and protecting us through father and mother, or the grandfather or grandmother. All that protection feeling we get from other living entities in this world is nothing but Krishna's protection that's coming through them. So, but the difference is, unlike father, mother's protection which comes and goes, this protection is forever. Is forever. And that is why Krishna is the father, Krishna is the mother. You know that Tomeva Mada Pitajinde. Yeah. Tomeva Bandhu. All this is coming from that understanding. So that means that is that state when you are actually experiencing the 100% full protection of Krishna. That's that state. That you are fully experiencing Krishna's protection. Now when you are children, you experience the protection of the father and mother. That lasts for some time. But actually that protection is also Krishna's protection, but it comes through them for a certain period of time. So, this experience of protection of Krishna is called Purna Rasam Anubhavam. Purna Rasam Anubhavam. That means this Rasam. Rasam means, another word is Rasam in the Bhagavatam. Rasam means that this protection of Krishna, of all, because we are all Krishna's children. We are all Krishna's parts, isn't it? So, because we are Atma, Krishna's protection is there for everybody. But, when you are feeling total protection from Krishna, then it is called Rasam. It is called Rasam. You can see this in Vyavaharam also, in the normal dealings in this world. We are able to sense this sometimes, isn't it? Because we realize that Krishna is present in everyone's heart as Antaryami. He is present there. And this experience, Brahma got it. That in the creation, He is present everywhere in all the living entities. Because Brahma realized that, even though all this creation happened, Brahma did not get bound by that. Bondage didn't happen to Brahma. You know, Brahma had a lot of discussion with Krishna during the process of creation. Because Brahma felt, I mentioned also before in the third canto, that when creation happened, Brahma said that if I create all of them, they'll be my children, wouldn't they? Krishna said, yes, that'll be your children. What does that mean? That means if I get attached to them, I'll be in difficulty, isn't it? Krishna said, yes, you will get attached. You will get in trouble. Krishna didn't show any mercy to Brahma at that time. So Brahma said, if that's the case, I'm not creating, he said. I don't want to get involved in this business, creation business. We are all tiny Brahmas doing the same job and getting into trouble. So the same thing happened to Brahma in a much big level. We are all, in one sense, Brahma is created, all of us, in one way or the other, isn't it? From Brahma, we came out. So, Brahma's point was that because they have come from me, I will feel a responsibility towards them, attachment for them, and they will come to this world and they will start doing things, work according to their vasana, and they will create their own misery and they will suffer. And when they start suffering, I'll see that and I will start feeling the misery. That's what happens to us also. Is it not? So, Brahma's logic was that. Brahma says that if all these living entities who have come from me, they will get involved in karma. Karma vasana is there inside them. And if they start engaging in karma vasana, and the result of that karma, that they will have to suffer. Krishna, Brahma is asking every time, will they not get into trouble? Krishna says, yes, they will get into trouble. So, when they get into trouble, then due to their karma vasana, they have done all these things and they got into trouble. Will that affect me? Krishna says, yes, it will affect you because you are attached to them. So therefore, Krishna says to Brahma, while creating, take this Bhagavatam in the hand and then go into creation. Therefore, that is why in the first study Bhagavatam and then enter into creation process. Otherwise, you will get into problems later. So, if it is otherwise, you would get bound in that. And that is why he says here, though. Therefore, Brahma took a promissory note from Krishna. Signed this, he said, that if they take your shelter from the beginning, then they won't get into problems. Krishna says, that I can sign. I don't have a problem. And that is how he signed that few verses in the Brahmastuti. You will see this. In the three chapters he spoke to Sri Narada Maharshi. There he confirmed this. That, Yasyavatara gunakarma vidambanani namani. That verses. That whoever take to Krishna consciousness properly and take Krishna shelter and then let him get into family life, he won't get into problem. If he has not taken to Krishna consciousness and he got involved in family life, it will end up in problems. That is the main message there. Yasyavadara gunakarma vitambanani namani asurigame vivasha granandi teneiva janma shamalam sahasaiva hitva samyandi apavartamudam purisham prabaddi. Brahma's prayers is one of the verses in his prayers. He says like that. So, therefore, first thing is to pray to Krishna. You know, when you enter into household life, what do we do normally? We worry about the money. I will have enough money to maintain the family. This is our normal worry, isn't it? Enough money to maintain the family or household life. Whether we have enough money to buy the property, or going on holidays, or for children's education, or for our emergencies, whatever it may be. These are the concerns in our head, in household life. What does Brahma say? Brahma says, they are not the concern. First take to Krishna consciousness seriously, and pray to Krishna that because of this household life, you don't get caught up in that. Because household life is like that. You can get completely caught up in that and suffer from that and go down in that road. So, in order to remain that alertness, to get that alertness in spiritual life, you have to hold on to Krishna and then enter into material life. Before entering into material life, take hold of Krishna's lotus feet strongly and then enter into family life. So, in reality, all of us are in the material life, isn't it? And whoever is born here, he born into material life straight away. But if you don't want to get pulled by the forces of the material life, the only option is to hold on to Krishna and to the knowledge what Krishna has given to Brahma. So, they give this example, Ramakrishna Paramahamsa is going to give this example, like when you cut the jackfruit, you cover the hands with the oil, otherwise it will stick. You know that sticky thing inside, it will stick. Similarly, by holding on to knowledge, holding on to jnanam, holding on to bhakti, that should purify inside and you should be able to conduct the vyavaharam in this world in that way. And that is what Prahlada is saying here. So, in this way, Prahlada says to Narasimham. Prahlada is now talking to Narasimham all these things, isn't it? Prahlada says to Narasimham, you showed yourself to Brahma in this way. In this way, he says to him. So, that's where that finishes there. verse number 36. So, from verse number 30 to 36 is the very, very core of this Prahlada Stuti. Prahlada's prayers, the very core of that is in 30 to 36. Up to 30, it is fairly straightforward, what we discussed before, because it's all about bhakti, about surrender, bhakti. That is what he has spoken. But from 30 to 36 is Prahlada's realizations. This understanding, where did he get that from? Sri Narada Maharshi. Narada Maharshi gave it to him while he was in the womb. While he was in the womb. Egastvameva jagade dadamushayal tvamadyandayo pratagavasya simadhyadascha srishtvagunam vyadigaram nijamaya edam nanevadairavasidastadanu pravishtaham tumvayidam sadasadishabhavamstadonyo mayayadalpavare buddhiriyam hyabartha yadyasya janmanidhanam stidirikshanam cha tadvaitadeva vasugalavadashtidaroho nyasedamalpani jagadvilayambu madhye Sheshayatmana nija sukhanu bhavo niriha Yogena meedir dhrgalpani bida nidra dujiyestido Natutamo nagunam shayunkshe Tasseiva deva biridam nija kala shaktya Sanjodida prakati dharmanam alpma gudham Ambhasyananda shayna dviramal samadher Na bhera bhul suganika vadavan mahabjam Tal sambhava kavirado nyadabashyamana Tvam bija malpani tadam subahir vijindya Navinda dabda shadam apsuni majjamano jade angure kadam bhobala bheda bijam Satvalpaye niradi vismidam astidobjam Kalena tivra tapasa parishuddha bhava Tvam alpani shabu vigandham ivadi sushmam Bodendri ashayamaye mitatam dadarsha Evam sahasravadana angrishirakkar orunasasya karna naina bharana yudadhyam Mayamayam sadubalakshida sannivesham Drishtva mahavurushamapamudam virinjaham Tasmai bhavan haishirastani bhavam Sanivamja vibradveda druhavadi bhalo madukaita bhagyo Hatvanaya shudiganam surajastamascha sattvam tava Priyadamam tanumam anandi So There finishes that Prakaranam. Prakaranam means the Siddhantam, what Prahlada had spoken to Narasimham. Now, after this, Prahlada is saying his own situation, what's happening to him. Prahlada had a very big heart. The only one devotee who prayed to Krishna that you should remove the distress of everybody, not only me. He says to, that's why Prahlada is so famous. When someone, we normally will pray, oh, at least get me out from here. That's what we will say to Krishna. But Prahlada is that person who said to Krishna, that please take everybody out of this place. That big heart, that it's in the fifth canto, when they talked about Prahlada's prayers. You remember that? In the, Prahlada is worshipping Narasimham. In which varsham is that? You'll see that in the Sosyastu, that verse. Just a minute. On the different varshams where Kim Purusham is Ramachandra, Bharavarsham Narayana Maharshi. And Hiranmaya Varsham Kurmam and Hari Varsham Hari Ketumala Lakshmi Devi Badrashravasa prior to that in Harivarsham, that means in the 5th canto, 18th chapter, verse 7, Harivarsham, what's happening there? Bhagavan Narahari Rubena Aste. Krishna is present as Narahari, Narasimham, is worshipped there. Tad Ruba Grahana Nimittam Uttaratrada Abhidasye Tad Daidam Rubam മഹാപുരുഷ ഗുണഭാജനോ മഹാഭാഗവതോ ദൈത്യദാനവ കല തീർത്ഥീകരണശീല ആചരിതം. There he is most pure devotee. This is in the Harivarsham. In Harivarsham. His name is Prahlada. Prahlado avyavadhanam ananya bhakti yogena saha tadvarsha purushai upaste idam chodaharati. There the deity is Narasimham and the devotee, prominent devotee, that's what is called. Prominent devotee is Prahlada. And this, what's the mantra? Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya. Namaste Tamastejas Tejase. Avir Avir Bhava Vajra Nakham Vajra Dramstram. Karmashya Drenthay Rendraya Tamo Grasa Grasa Om Swaha Abhayam Abhayam Arpani Bhuishta Om Chraum. That is the mantra for worshipping Narasimham in the Hari Varsham. And next verse is Prahlada's prayers to Narasimha. What is he saying? Sostyastu vishwasya khala prasitadam dhyayandu bhutani shivam mithodhiya manascha badram bhajada tathokshaje aveshyadam no madhira pyahaituge. Prahlada is praying sostyastu vishwasya khala prasitadam. Let everybody be happy. Even the demons, let them be happy, because I am one of them, he is saying. That heart, great heart, what Prahlada had, nobody else had, to pray like this. Even the rishis, they pray for their own betterment. Prahlada is praying for everybody's benefit. So, then the question will come. If demons will be happy only, when are the demons happy? When they give trouble to the devotees, isn't it? Demon and devotees are two different extremes. So demons become happy when they give trouble to the devotees. And devotees become happy when all the demons are destroyed. But Prahlada is saying everybody should be happy, demons and the devotees. So what does that mean? It means Prahlada is saying to Narasimham that demons, please change their way of thinking, change their heart. Because this demon, devotee and all is only on the surface, isn't it? Atma, who is present inside a demon and in the devotee, is one. It's only the character of a person, the nature, vasana inside, makes a person demon or devotee. So, Prahlada is saying, if you can change that nature in him, then he is also as good as a devotee. Everybody will become a devotee and everybody will be happy in this world. This is Prahlada's logic. That's what he said there. So, siyastu vishyasya khala prasidadam. Khala means asuras. Even they also, let them become happy, Prahlada is saying. Because if you change their way of thinking, they will also be happy in life. Like the devotees, they will also be happy. So, because of that, Brahma, Prahlada's prayer is like that, and the Bhagavadam has made him very famous. This great heart, what Prahlada had. So, you can see in Prahlada Stuti, what we have seen so far is right up to the verse of verse 29, we started from 8. 8 to 29, 22 verses, isn't it? So those 22 verses are Prahlada's bhakti side of it. From 30th right up to 37, is Prahlada's knowledge side. What he received that from Sri Narada Maharshi. What he received from Sri Narada Maharshi. Now, Prahlada is talking to Narasimham in a different way. Let's look at a few verses. Ittham nradirya hrishi jeva jashavadarer logan vibhavayasi hamsi jagal pradivan dharmam mahapurushapasi ganuvartham channakhalo yada bhavastri yugodasattvam naidanmanasava yathasu vikundanatha sambriyade duridadushtama sadhu divram kamaduram harsha shokabhayeshanartham tasmin katham tavagadim vimrshami deenaha. After talking all these things, Prahlada is putting forward his own situation. After saying for everybody else what he had to say, then on his own situation, he is saying to him, Jihvai gado achyuta vikarshadi ma vidrutta shishnonyadastaku ugaram udaram shravanam kudaschil ghrananyadascha baladrikvaja karma shaktir bahya bahuva sabadnyam iva gehabadim lunandi evam sokarma badidam bhava vaidaranyam anyonya janma marana asana bhida bhidam Pashi Anjanam Sobara Vigraha Vaira Maitram Handedi Parachara Piprahi Muda Madhyaham Ko Anvatrade Akhilaguru Bhagavan Prayasam Uttarane Sibhava Sambhava Lopa Hedo Mudeshuvai Mahat Anugraham Artha Bandho Kim Tenade Priyajana Nenusena Damta Nevo Dvije Paradurate Vaidaranya Tvadvirya Gayana Mahamrata Magna Chittaham Shojetado Vimukhacheta Samindri Artha Maya Sukhaya Paramuddhado Vimutan Prayena Deva Munaya Suvi Mukti Gama Maunam Charandi Vijanena Paratha Nishtaha Naidan Vihaya Krivanan Vimumuchamego Nanyam Todasya Charanam Pramadonu Pashye Yan Maithuna Nigrahame Edi Sukham Kitucham Kanduya Yena Karayuriva Dukha Dukham Trupyami Neha Krivanam Trupyandi Neha Krivanam Bahudukha Bhaja Kandudivan Manasijam Vishaheda Dhiraha Mauna Pradashuda Tabodhena Sotharma Akhyara Ho Javasamadhema Abavargya Praya Paramburishadvai Tujit Indriyanam Varta Bhavandyadanadavatra Dudambhiganam Rube Ime Sadasadi Tava Deva Srishte Bijangura Vivadaja Tada Chanya Rupakasya Yukta Samaksham Bhayatra Vijinude Etvam Yogena Vandimiva Darishu Nanya Dasyal Tumma Yuragnira Viniyadambu Matram Pranendriyani Khadayam Chadanugrahascha Sarvam Tomeva Saguno Vigunascha Bhuman Nanyalasto Dastabi Mano Vachasa Niruktam Naide Gunana Gunino Mahadadeyo Ye Sarve Mana Prabhadaya Sahadeva Martya Adyandavandam Urugai Vidandihi Tvam Evam Vimarsha Sudhiyo Viramandi Shabdal Talter Hattamas Tamastudi Karma Bhuja Karmasprudi Sharanayo Shravanam Kathayam Sam Sevayam Tui Vinidi Shadangayam Kim Bhaktim Janam Paramaham Sagadau Lebheta. That is the end of that Prahlada study there. Now, these verses from now, Prahlada study is a big study in the Bhagavatam. It's a very many verses there, isn't it? And big study in the sense that Prahlada is talking about different aspects of bhakti. Have you noticed that? When we say bhakti, jnanam and all that, you have to understand it in a little different way. Bhakti's different form is jnanam. You see? That Prahlada is a devotee. He's a devotee. But where is that bhakti coming from? Why does he feel so devoted to Narasimham? Because of this realization inside. That jnanam in Prahlada is manifesting in the form of bhakti towards Narasimham. That is what you have to see it. So, when I said to you that these verses are bhakti, don't think, oh, Prahlada is put a like a chapter, he's talking. No, he's not. What he's saying is that in his, the different aspects of bhakti, what he's experiencing in his heart, he is pouring it out. So, initial verses are all based on that understanding, that he is feeling Narasimhamurti's presence there so strongly, and is reflecting on the fate of the people and about his father. He laments a lot about Hiranyakashipu, saying that this has happened to my father because he went against you, not knowing who you are. And his discussions with Hiranyakashipu, and from that how he has realized that surrendering to Narasimham is the first duty. So all those is what you see right up to that verses, end of bhakti, what I said to you before. And from then afterwards, his own knowledge of the self is coming out. And that develops in the form of bhakti. So, even though we may say it is verses coming from the jnanam side, actually it is Prahlada's bhakti that is pouring out through those verses as well. So, now, in another form that bhakti comes. Bhakti is flowing in different ways from inside. First time, in the form of his relationship with Narasimham. Secondly, in the form of the world and the creation. How he is feeling that devotion. And similarly, we have noticed there that it ended into Advaitam at the end, Advaita knowledge. So, what you can observe there is that in the sadhana processes, in the end of that sadhana, the person himself disappears. The one who is performing sadhana goes away from there. Because when he says to him, Prabhupada is saying to him, that Brahma experienced like this, initially what is that realization is this, that the awareness inside is nobody is different from Narasimham. We call Narasimham here. It is actually Krishna, which is Paramatma, who is Bhagavan, who is Brahman himself. So that vastu, Prahlada is experiencing inside, and he is saying, ultimately here, you saw that, like Brahma experienced, that this realization that only he exists, only Krishna exists here. Everything else has no existence, it comes and goes, comes and goes. So in sadhana, ultimately that is what happened to a person who is engaged in sadhana, that he does not exist anymore. That means sadhaka, one who is performing sadhana, and the actual sadhana itself, the process, all that is gone. All what remains is sadhyam. Sadhana, sadhaka, sadhyam. Three things. This is the tribudi in the bhakti. Like jiva, ishvara, jagat exist in the jnanam. In the bhakti it is sadhaka, sadhana, sadhyam. All those three goes away, and finally what exists is a sadhyam only, the goal. Only Krishna exists. And that truth is manifested to him in that way. But still, a person who is in the platform of the mind, or who is in the platform of the intelligence, for him, this sadhana will continue inside as well as outside. That means, till as long as you are in the platform of the mind, that means as long as we have a mind and intelligence, these two things are working in us. We need to recognize this fact that our sadhana will happen outside as well as inside. It has to happen in two levels. Outside sadhana, inside sadhana. That means, so adhyalpa sadhana or advaita sadhana is when you have realization, this is what Prahlada has spoken here, that is a sadhana, what is happening inside. Who? Prahlada's realizations. It's all happening inside. Advaita sadhana is always inside. That is what I mentioned from the very beginning. That advaitam is not for in the platform of the body. But you are doing sadhana with your body also. Various services what you do. With your mind you do some sadhana. With your intelligence you do sadhana. All that is the external sadhana. Internal sadhana is this, what Prahlada is talking about, that the way he has understood, like Krishna has spoken in the 13th chapter, Sarvada Panivadandal Sarvada Okshishir, the whole 13th chapter is like that in the Bhagavad Gita. That is the internal sadhana. That's so, as long as we have the mind and the body, the internal sadhana will carry on, external sadhana also will have to go on. External sadhana will stop one day when the body drops and when the mind gets destroyed. When the intelligence is destroyed, then what remains is only Advaita sadhana. That is the pinnacle of the whole realization he's talking about. So, everything you can see in Prahlada's is very rational, spoken very rational way. And this same sadhana, what Prahlada has spoken here, when it comes to our platform of the mind, Upasana Mandalam, it's called Upasana. Mano Mandalam means Upasana Mandalam. That, when it comes to Vasana Mandalam, you are translating that knowledge, what Prahlada has spoken, into your daily life. Isn't it? That is what sadhana means. Sadhana means this knowledge what Prahlada has spoken to Narasimham, which is Jnana Mandalam. It is the platform of the knowledge. But that is an internal sadhana. When you bring it into the external sadhana, it transforms into chanting the holy name, deity worship, and various other things. So, it is a, first thing is the internal sadhana. Internal sadhana becomes external sadhana later. Not from external sadhana we go to internal sadhana. That is why it's so important to study this studi very seriously. Because centered around the studi is the katha. Not katha centered around the studi. Stuti, centered around the Stuti is the Katha. Stuti is not centered around the Katha. Katha is centered around the Stuti. Do you understand what I'm saying? Stuti and Upadesham and Katha, three things in the Bhagavadam. Upadesham and Stuti are on a higher level. Katha is higher and lower means in the sense that in our ability to relate with it. That's why we say higher and lower. Not that it's otherwise. Higher and lower is due to that. So Upadesham and Stuti is the cream, you can say. Is the cream. That is where the message is. Centered around that is the Katha. To give the impetus for others to access to it easily. For easy access, Katha has been framed around that. So, similarly here, when this knowledge what Prahlada is talking about, that is what he got from Sri Narada Maharshi while he was in the womb of Kayadhu. He got it from Kayadhu while in the womb, that knowledge what he is talking about here. That knowledge, when it comes out, because you have got a mind and intelligence, you need some engagement for that. Therefore, it came out in the form of a sadhana externally. And that is what's called upasana. That's what's called upasana. Now, it is at that time that we say to the devotees that you chant the holy name, you chant any holy name, Krishna, Rama, Govinda, whatever it may be, or engage in some meditation, or perform some yoga sadhana, whatever it is, different instructions given to different devotees. Different instructions given to different devotees. And that is all based on this, that internal realizations, isn't it? So, normally, even though this little sadhana what we do, the chanting the holy name, everything, it is impossible to say that everybody will be identical in life. We will never be identical. One person you may find very enthusiastic to chant the holy name all the time. Not everybody. Everybody won't feel that. Feel that enthusiasm to chant in that way. And there is a reason that the same thing cannot be applied to all. It is not possible. It will not have its... It does not work. That's what you find in life. In practical life, you will find that. One process, if you give to everybody, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. So, for different people, they will have to change their upasana. Upasana means, when it comes to a personal level, it is called upasana. In general terms, it's called sadhana. Generally, you will call it as sadhana. But suppose, because it is not same for everybody, everyone has to make adjustments in their own spiritual life. That's up to the individual, how he adjusts his spiritual life. That is dictated by the vasanas and antaryami from inside. So, because we have these vasanas inside, and we have a body with these vasanas, therefore, how to elevate ourselves, that has to be found out by oneself, and that is called upasana. Do you see the difference between upasana and sadhana? Sadhana is spoken in a general terms for everybody. For example, chanting the holy name is a sadhana. Deity worship is a sadhana. And studying Srimad Bhagavatam is a sadhana. These are all sadhana. But when you come to an individual level, one has to know oneself what is necessary to elevate oneself within spiritual life. And for that, because he knows his vasanas well, more than anybody else. And because we exist with vasanas inside, we should be able to make that judgment, what is the right thing for me to do, which will elevate me in spiritual life. That is the... And when you do that, it is called upasana. So that's the difference between sadhana and upasana. Upasana is personal. Sadhana is general in terms. Okay. So, because all of our vasanas are different and we are traveling in this world with our different vasanas, our parts also will be different. This you can see in people. Somebody is attracted to music, kirtan, for hours and hours. Vasana is there inside in that person for music and kirtanam. That is why it is. And somebody else, like I mentioned before, when Ramanujacharya spoke from Ramayanam or Srimad Bhagavatam, people were so thrilled by that they didn't want to any to anasathana. They didn't even want to see the deity. When the deity was brought in procession, in front, Ramanuja got up from the seat, went and paid the obeisances to Ranganatha. But others were saying, he is giving us trouble, he says, about the deity. Because they got so absorbed in hearing Ramayanam from Ramanuja, that they didn't want to do anything else in this world, except hearing. So why is it like that? The vasana inside. Vasana, Pearson's vasana inside. So vasana mayam shariram. Shariram, body has got vasana inside. And due to that vasana, our own sadhana process will change. Whatever people do sadhana. And some others you will see, they are very determined to chant the holy name. And they have developed, got that taste for the holy name to chant. And they go in that direction. They don't want to hear anything else in this world. They say, what Bhagavatam? We don't want to hear anything. I'll just chant the holy name. They go. That is due to the vasana inside. That attraction for the holy name for them. And somebody else, they are very busy with their deity worship. They say, I've got my deities, and you will see them organizing all the time, something or the other for the deity. Why? The vasana inside. So, vasana decides the process of upasana in a person. And somebody else says, oh, I'll just sit and hear Bhagavatam. That's enough for me. I'm happy with that. So, all these are different processes because of our different vasanas. And Krishna generally in the Srimad Bhagavatam has spoken about the importance of hearing more than anything else because of various reasons. We'll discuss that later. So, because of this, everybody's process will be different. You can't put everybody into one pot and say that you all do this, you'll all go back, you'll all be together there. That is not possible. If you understand the subtle nature of our mind, and if you accept this vasana's presence inside, you know that you can't force people onto anything. It does not work. You can only work with people based on their vasanas. Prabhupada explained the same thing. When he found that the vasanas are for karmam, action, he created certain projects to suit their vasanas. He had to do that because when he told them that you all sit and chant Hare Krishna 64 rounds every day, he couldn't do it. Nobody could do it. It was difficult. And because a spiritual master should know the vasana in a person and accordingly he should make the adjustments in his upasana. And the disciple also should know that, what his vasana is. And accordingly, it should be developed. The plan should be developed for him. That's what it is called, upasana. So that is why he says here, but what I have spoken now, that itself is difficult for people to understand. Sometimes they find that hard to digest because they are saying, that's not what Prabhupada says in the book. They'll say like that. This is how it ends up at the end. And they generally like one process. We are all together in it, as Osborne says. Carry on together. That's what they like it, that way. But what you have to understand, that in spiritual life, we all have our own propensities in us and tendencies in us, and we will act according to that. Whatever that comes to, according to our vasanas. That's what he's saying here. So, this topic is like that. That means, upasana is in the platform of the mind, isn't it? Manomandalam, isn't it? So, because it is in the manomandalam, nothing will be very rational and it won't be very clear. When you are engaged in upasana, nothing is rational there. Rational means that you can't really analyze it and say that this is it. No, it will never be like that. And nothing will be clear either. And therefore, whatever you have spoken with your spiritual master, and whatever he has instructed you based on your vasanas, if he has understood it properly, and that will become your upasana. And with that, it is over, that you have to follow that then. So, because you have to remember, within our mind, thousands of lifetimes, footprints are there. Footprints are there inside. And that we do not know. That we do not know. And why we do not know? Because Krishna is so compassionate to us that he has kept it covered. He didn't open it up. If he has opened it up, it would be a disaster. It will be a disaster, isn't it? So, and if you have crossed that border, then you won't be able to stay. Because once you have understood what is in there, you will be in a very disturbed state. If you know all your vasanas inside, fully. What you have collected from all the lifetimes, what is inside. If you get to know that, you won't be very peaceful about life. Therefore, out of compassion, Krishna said, I'll keep it covered so that you can somehow survive in this body. Suppose everything is known to us, what I did in my previous lives, in the previous bodies, how many lifetimes, how many bodies, what all things we have done. If I am fully aware of all those things, what would be the situation now? There will be war going on here, isn't it? So, we don't have to go many lifetimes. Just the last one. Only you have to know the last one, what you have done. That's enough to drive you crazy, to make you crazy, isn't it? And sometimes in rare cases, it gets revealed. You can see sometimes, in rare cases it gets revealed. So, a first class guru is that person who is able to see the samskaram of a disciple in his previous lifetime. That they will know. A first class guru will know a disciple's purva samskaram, what is inside him. And he will have the power to know that. So, and he will know how to tap that without the knowledge of the disciple. Disciple may not know it, but the spiritual master will know that. How to tap that vasana of a person in him. And accordingly, he will make the plan or upasana for the disciple. And he will give it to him. So, therefore, upasanamayam. Upasana is also mayamayam. Because it's all mixed with all these things. Mayamayam. That is why Prabhupada said that. Mayamayam sadubalakshita sannivesham. Remember that? That verse, I think it is... Mayamayam sadubalakshita sannivesham. 36. Evam sahasravadana angrishirokaroru Nasasya karna nayena bharana yudadhyam Mayamayam sadubalakshita sannivesham Drishtva mahapurusham apamudam virincha. Why did Prahlada say it is mayamayam? Because it is in the manomandalam. It is mixed with the mind. Upasana is mixed with the mind and mixed with our vasana. Because it is mixed with all that, it is upasana is. And in that upasana, because it is mixed with the impressions or vasanas inside, there you can't put logic and reasoning there. Sometimes you can see people do some sadhana, some kind of sadhana. Say for example, chanting the holy name. They chanted for a few years and then they didn't feel any benefit. They feel that it hasn't worked for me, they say. But they don't understand probably why it doesn't work for him. His vasanas are different than somebody else's vasana. So therefore, upasana, therefore, two people who chanted the holy name for a certain period of time, one feels immensely benefited. Another person feels, it's not working for me. And he deviates, leaves everything and goes away. Why this difference has come? Because of this. That mayamayam it is. In maya it is like that. In maya you can't apply any logic and reasoning. Similarly in here also you can't apply any logic and reasoning. But what we do is we tell people, oh no, you are nonsense, that's why you're not getting it. I got it. That approach is not going to work. Then he will become inimical. He will say, I don't want any spiritual life because you are not telling me the what you, somebody is experiencing happiness also from chanting the holy name. Because he had that vasana inside him, he's feeling that benefit from that. Somebody else have a different vasanas, he does not feel that benefit from that. So, upasana means what I've spoken before, logic and reasoning has no place. Logic and reasoning has no place. So if you ask a person, why, for example, you can see, some people, they are always, their vasana is going towards holy places, visiting holy people, meeting up with holy men, be in their association. That is one kind of vasana in them. To go and visit holy places, holy rivers, bathing in the holy rivers, visiting ashrams, temples, and associating with, observing the holy nature in people. So where is that vasana coming from? So why it is like that, you can't answer that. Possibly that person in his previous life had a vasana in that way. So you can see these variations in people, different people. And some devotees, they are very particular. They go and bathe in the river in the morning, go to the temple in the morning, and some vasana inside them. And if you tell them to sit and chant for a few hours, they say, no, I can't do that. But he will get up early in the morning, go to the river, bathe in the river, do everything very nicely, and go to the temple. And some others, you can notice, they'll pay obeisances after obeisances to the deity. Why? Vasana inside. So different, everybody is not working based on the instructions from others. It is a lot of people working from the instructions from Antaryami inside, based on the vasana inside. So that is why, while in upasana, everybody is different. In upasana, everybody is different. And similarly, you can see, a person is attracted to one form of Krishna. Like baby Krishna is there. And then people are attracted to Shyamsundar form, Gokulananda's form, Venugopal, flute playing Krishna there. Or like Markandeya was attracted to Krishna lying on the banyan leaf. So why all these different forms and different attractions? People are there who are attracted to the incarnation of boar incarnation of Krishna. There are so many temples for boar, Varahamurti, Varaha temples. Even in Vrindavanam, there is a Varahamurti temple. So why are they attracted to Varaham? Because in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Varaham's position is spoken very highly about Yajnam, all Yagam, Yajnam, everything comes through Varaham. So those who are inclined in that direction, they will be attracted to Varahamurti. Those who are attracted to Narasimham, there are persons like Sridhara Swami, attracted to Narasimham. Suppose we say to Sridhara Swami, why are you attracted to Narasimham? Why are you not attracted to Krishna? What is the answer? There is no answer to that. Sridhara Swami will say to us that Narasimham is everything for me. He will say. He is so attracted to Narasimham. In his prayers, also in Shruti Gita, you will notice this, that out of Narasimha Murthy's mercy, I am writing this commentary on Shruti Gita. He is saying there. So, attraction for different forms of the deity is again the vasanas inside. Attraction for different processes of upasana is again due to the vasana inside. Vasana, vasana, vasana. Vasana controls everything in a person. So, so if you ask this question, why should I worship Narasimham? Why shouldn't I worship Krishna? Can't give you any answer for that. But so why a darshanam like this to Brahma, Vishwarupam first of all? What is the answer? No answer for that. And if you ask the question, somebody asks you a question, why Narasimham has come out from the pillar? Why doesn't he take the normal birth like anybody else? There is no answer to that. You can't give any answer to that, isn't it? So, there are certain things in spiritual life where you can't get an answer. There is no answer to that. Because there is no logic and reasoning in all these things. Then you can see, you take your own body. If you ask the question, why do I have two nostrils? Why one was not sufficient? One was sufficient, isn't it? Why two? Who will answer that question? Can you answer that question? Why I have two holes instead of one? Why made it two? Can be one, isn't it? What is the answer to that question? So with these two holes, air is going in, coming out, with both of them, isn't it? So similarly, we ask the question, why two eyes? Except Shiva, nobody else has three, isn't it? He has got a third one here. But everybody else has got two. So if you ask the question, why only two? Why not three? No answer. Same thing with the ears also. Why two holes? And similarly, if you ask the question, why can't I see things with my ears? Or why can't I hear through my eyes? If you ask all these questions, what answer can you give? There's no answer to all these questions. Because looking at it, or if you say that through the ears, why can't I breathe? And this is also a hole, this is also a hole, this is also a hole. So why it is different in this way? So that is the reason this is called a niyati. Niyati means it's already fixed. Don't ask any more question about that. It's already fixed, isn't it? Similarly, in material nature also, niyati is there. Niyati. And therefore you don't ask this question, why it is like that. And if your mind and intelligence is forcing you to ask the question, that's also niyati. If you are asking the question still, then that's your niyati. Niyati means this destiny-like thing. So some people, it is written in their forehead, they have to ask question all life. They need answer for everything. So, Prahlada, if you ask the question, what Upasana Prahlada has done in this life? Nothing. What has he done? Nothing. He didn't chant the holy name. He all started much later. Even before all that chanting the holy name started, he was realized. He had, right in the womb itself, he got the message very clearly, and he got it and took it. Isn't it? So, therefore, we don't even know that in this lifetime, what Upasana Prahlada has done. We don't even know that, isn't it? But still, therefore, when Prahlada made the Prahlada Stuti, he included all Upasana in that. He didn't exclude everything. Bhakti Upasana, Jnana Upasana, Karma Upasana, everything he has included in his prayers, in his Stuti, isn't it? Bhakti Sadhana he has spoken, and after that, he spoke about Mahavishnu as Narayana lying on the Adishesha, and he had that darshanam of that inside him, and and then he spoke about Brahma who comes from the lotus flower, and then Brahma asked the question, who am I? And Brahma himself was in a shock when he came out. Because that's the first time he got a separate identity, isn't it? Before Brahma came out, he had no separate identity. First time, he got a body and he got a separate identity. And that is what, that's the first time an individual identity has come for Brahma. And so that is the first thing he is saying here. That identity what he has got first time. Identity what he has got for first time. In the verse 35 you will see Sattvatmayo nidati vismidam astitobjam kalena tivra tapasa parishuddha bhava tvam atmanesha bhuvigandam ivadi sushmam bhutendriya shayamaye vitatam dadarsha. We'll continue after a few minutes. Chedo darpanam arjanam bhavamaha davagni nirvavanam Shreyakkaidavachandriya vidaranam vidhyavadhu jivanam Anandambudivardhanam pratipadapurnam radaswadhanam Sarvatna sovanam bhanam vijayade shri krishna sankirtanam Namnamagari bahudanija sarvashakti Tatrarpidani vidasmaranena kala Edadrishidavakrupa bhagavan mamavi
Durdeva Midrashamiha Janina Anuragaham Tranadavi Shunichena Tarorabi Sahishtuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Nathanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavidamma Jagadisha Kamaye Mama Janmani Janmani Shwari Bhavadad Bhakti Rahe Dugitvai Aivandananuja Kingaram Padidamam Shami Bhavambudau Krubayatava Padabanga Jastidaduli Sadrasham Vichindaya Nayanam Galada Shudharaya Vadanam Gadgadaruddhaya Gira Pulagayar Nijidam Kadava Bhutavan Namagrahane Bhavishyadi Yugaidam Nimeshena Chakshusha Pravishaidam Shunyaidam Jagal Sarvam Govinda Virahe Name Ashlishyava Padaradam Pinashtavam Adarshanam Armahadam Karyotuva Yathatadava Vidata Tulam Pado Pranathastuna Evana Param.
When Brahma, realized that, the first time individual identity happened to Brahma, I am an individual, this awareness happened to Brahma first time. So that is why he is saying there that evam sahasravadanangri shirakaroru nasasya karnamayam karnanayinabharanayudhadhyam mayamayam sadubalakshidam sanivesham drishtva mahavirushamabamudam virinja. This virinja is Brahma. Brahma's realization is the first time that sattvatmayoni, he says before this, Sattvatmayoni niradi vismida yo niradi vismidam asti dobjam sattvatmayeni niradi vismidam asti dobjam kalena tivra tapasa parishuddha bhava. Then when he was this has to be understood in the tattvam level. This is all figuratively speaking. The lotus flower and the Brahma sitting on that. That means that in us, all of us, there is the vasana lying there of millions of lifetimes. Vasana is present inside. And it is within that vasana that is there, Brahma suddenly captured the extremely fine and subtle way, like the way you pick up the smell of a flower from a garden. He managed to get the smell of the self in that. Just to explain to us that this self-inquiry process is like that. That you are trying to capture the presence of Antaryami inside. It is similar to capturing the smell in a garden of a particular flower. How sensitive you have to be. Of course, that is on a physical level. But here, on a spiritual level, to sense the presence of Atma inside us, in the middle of all this vasana. You see, Atma is present in all of us in the form of consciousness. I mentioned before, it reflects in our vasana, which is the chittam, and that is where ahankaram is, isn't it? In chittam, ahankaram is present. We have four things in the subtle body. Mind, intelligence, false ego, and the chittam or vasana. They are actually one, but based on the functions they are separated. They are broken separately, spoken separately. So, and we have given these predominating deities for also Vasudevam, Sankarsana, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. Aniruddha for the mind, Vasudeva for the chittam, and Pradyumna for the intelligence, and Sankarsana for Ahangaram. If you make it personal like that, it's easier to connect with that, isn't it? When you say Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, it's easier to connect. Whereas if you say mind, intelligence, ego and chittam, it looks all very abstract for us. Whereas as soon as you say Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, oh, we say there are four people. Immediately you can relate with that. So that is why everything is spoken in a personal way, but behind that this underlying principle remains. Ahangaram means, but who are these four? Is Atma again, Antaryami. Is four in the four forms. But unfortunate thing is we don't look at that side of it. We only see four persons inside. And they are all incarnations of Krishna. If you say like that, you can connect with that better. But at the same time, the subtle principle remains that Vasudeva is the chittam. Chittam means nothing but you have the vasanas there, and in them the reflection of the Antaryami in that is what is called Ahangaram. And that is where this take birth. Which one? I am an individual. I am, I am, I am. This Ahangaram inside, that is born with that. So here Brahma managed to get that smell of the soul from inside, in the middle of all his vasanas, and his Brahma is also a living entity like us. You have to also remember that. Although he is on a much higher level, he lives in Satyalokam, he has got a big house and everything there, but his position is very high, and he treats us all as his children. But at the same time, he also has a lifespan. He is also living in fear like us. Because one day, his time will also finish. This time is a very funny thing, isn't it? Concept. And it is very, when you are completely bound by time, then when it comes to Puranam, particularly when you study Puranam, you will get a little problem there. We want everything chronological order. Everything. Bhagavatam is not chronologically correct. Many things are spoken here and there. The reason for that is, in Samadhi state, there is no time. So when Shukha Brahmarshi is speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, he is not checking, is that all I am speaking in the order? He is not thinking that. Whatever comes in Samadhi, he is speaking. Because for him, no time exists. For us, only time exists. This is where the problem coming from. What happened was, when one day Krishna and Balaram went to see Vasudeva and Devaki, and this was probably Krishna was over 100 years old that time. Devaki was about 150 years or 160 years old. An incident happened in Krishna's life when he was very small. Small means he was about 10 years, 12, 11 years old. That's the time when, you remember he went to study at Sandivani Maharshi's Guruvilam. He was studying there. So, there after 64 days he had education. He had only 64 days education. Whereas we had made our life education, isn't it? So we had all the degrees. Krishna has no degree, nothing. So Krishna goes there, 64 days education he had. And after that, Sandivani Maharshi's wife, Guruvatni, Krishna asked, what do you want as a Gurudakshana? So Guruvatni said that we had a son who died long ago. And he went to bathe in the sea, he never came back. We would like to see him, he said. That incident has happened long way before even Krishna appeared here. So Krishna says to them, no problem, I'll bring him over, he says. And he goes and searched for him in the sea, couldn't find him. Then he found out that Panchajana, one asura, has taken him and stole him away from there. Anyway, in the story, Krishna brings him back and hands him over to as Guru Dakshina to for the as a, like the tuition fee or something. He hands it over to Sandivani Maharshi and to his wife, Guru Vakni. Incident is forgotten there. Krishna never spoke about this to Vasudeva or Devaki, right? Never spoke about this. Krishna is not like us. If he has done something, he has to tell the whole world what we have done. Big deal. No, Krishna doesn't say anything to anybody because all these things are insignificant things for him. He didn't say anything and he left it like that. After 100 years, one day when they went to this Tirthayatra in Seventh Panchagam, the rishis came to talk to Krishna. All the rishis, and that includes Shuka Brahmarshi, Vedavyas, Vasishta, and all that listed there in the Bhagavadam. And they glorified Krishna in front of Vasudeva and Devaki. And in that glorification, they said the rishi said to Krishna that in your childhood in the Gurukulam, you have done such an amazing thing because those pastimes are unusual, not normal, extraordinary, you can say. Somebody who is dead and gone 100 years back to bring him back again and show it to him. Here he is having. So that was with this son of Sandivani Maharshi. You have done such a wonderful thing, they said to him. Krishna didn't say anything. Vasudeva heard that, saying this. So they started thinking, look at the power of Maya. Krishna has to put Maya all the time in front of Vasudeva, so that Vasudeva and Devaki has to always think Krishna is our son. Once this thought comes, he is our son, then there is no Supreme Personality of Godhead there. It's gone, isn't it? So Maya has to do this job all the time. That is why all pastime is with Maya together. So if Maya was not there, pastimes won't happen. Because only because of Maya's presence, pastimes are happening. So then what happened was, after this incident, one day, Vasudeva and Devaki were talking to each other, and they said, Krishna, I heard this rishi saying like this to him in Samanta Panchagam, that he brought back the son of his spiritual master. This happened 100 years before. So we lost our children also like this, the 6 of them whom Kamsa killed. Isn't it? Is it possible to bring them back? They are talking to each other, Vasudeva and Devaki. So, and naturally, Devaki wanted to see them, first thing. Imagine 100 years have gone by now. Krishna is over 100 years old. I'm not allowed to say like that. It's wrong to say that, but we have no other way of saying it, so I'm saying it. Krishna, there is no age, isn't it? Who is beyond all this time and space and everything? Anyway, they said to Devaki says to Krishna, is it possible to see them now? Krishna says to them, that's no problem. For him, there is no problem, anything. He says, if I don't bring them tonight, tomorrow morning when I come for the breakfast, they'll be with me. So he goes to straight to Sudhalam, to Mahabali. When he goes there, Mahabali says, what Mahabali learned before a lesson, good lesson. So Mahabali says to him that I don't know who you are looking for. If you give me their names or some address or something, I can find out. In Sudhalam, there are so many people. Krishna says, they are all there. I'll tell you who they are. Bring them over here. Krishna gave the whole details of these 6, his brothers they are. His brothers, 6 brothers. So these 6 brothers, Krishna picked them up and brought them, his own brothers, and brought them back to Vasudeva and Devaki. Vasudeva and Devaki saw them. And as soon as they saw them, Devaki felt such an affection for the children. And she started tears coming from her eyes, and she wanted to breastfeed them all, these small children who had come. Parikshit is looking at all these things, saying, and he's thinking, what is this going on now? 100 years back they died, and now they're in Sudalam, they are living there. And Krishna has brought them here, and Devaki is feeling extreme happiness that this 100 years has not affected her at all. She is feeling as though they were fresh born, and she is treating them like this. Seeing all this thing, Parikshit asked Shuka Brahmarshi that how do you explain all these things? But Shuka Brahmarshi says, if you start thinking time and all that, you won't understand this. Yaya srishti pravartade. In order that creation has to go on in this world, it has to happen in this way. Maya has to work. Maya has to put us in that state. Only then these things will go on. Now, more interesting than that is, these six brothers, Krishna's so-called brothers, right? They got an opportunity to drink the milk from the breasts of Devaki, which is prasadam, isn't it? Because Krishna has drunk that milk. So therefore, they say they got liberated. Now, generally, they are Krishna's elder brothers. So, what Krishna got was their prasadam actually. They were killed by Kamsa later. So actually, they had the breast milk from Devaki way before Krishna had it. So actually, Krishna had drunk their prasadam. But now Shuka Brahmarshi says they got liberated because they drank Krishna's prasadam. The opposite way. Interesting more than that is, these six children, they were Hiranyakashipu's children. So when did Hiranyakashipu appear and when is Krishna appeared? What is the time gap? Look at that also. Hiranyakashipu was in Satyugam. You can see Hiranyakashipu's lifespan was so long, and he performed such a severe austerities and penances. Brahma says nobody else can do that. Astigata Pranan he was. That means he had no flesh, no blood, only the bones were left in his body. Apparently body can stay simply with the bones alone. Don't go by the Kali Yuga body. Kali Yuga body, you have to keep on feeding rice or sabji or whatever constantly. Only then it will survive. But when Brahma met Hiranyakashipu, what was practically left was only the bones. There was no blood, there was no flesh, and Pranan was able to stay in that bones. It was still present there. Astigada Pranan, it is called. Astigada Pranan. Only Asti or bones are remaining, and the life were still there in that body. To such an extent, he could perform the austerity. That was his strength. Hiranyakashipu's strength, right? So, Hiranyakashipu appeared in that Satyugam, and here we have Krishna and Vasudeva and Devaki in this Dwapara Yugam at the end. Such a huge gap of time difference between them. So it is those children, those six who have come as the sons of Vasudeva and Devaki. So they are Hiranyakashipu's children, they were in previous life. And in this life, they have come as children of Vasudeva and Devaki. Due to another reason why they were cursed by, they had to accept that body because Brahma made some mischief. And Brahma was, they were actually children of Marichi. Marichi is one of the Prajapati. So, when Brahma created them, Marichi is a Prajapati. They are directly born from Brahma's heart. Prajapatis are born from Brahma's heart. They had the capacity to reproduce without a wife. They had the capacity to do so. That is why many things in the Bhagavadam, we will find it very difficult to understand. Because what was the power? The power of Brahmacharya. Like Daksha Prajapati, when he created, you remember, Daksha creates. He creates not with the help of a wife. So Vidura asked this question to Maitreya specifically. Did they create with a wife or without a wife? In the Bhagavadam there is a question like that. From there you can understand that there were people who could create without a wife.
creation was possible without a wife. So therefore, we don't have to think in the wrong way, saying that how could they create so many children, like Daksha created 60 girls in one lot. Or we can also see in the Daksha Prajapati had Hiryashva and Shabalashva, thousands of them. How did they create them? That creation is not like the way we are creating. We only know this one creation process, man and woman together, and creation happens. Children are born. But they had the capacity for progeny to create from the mind and from their willpower, brahmachari power, they were able to create. So creation is not always limited to the way we understand creation. That means not through only husband and wife creation is possible, or a man and woman. Creation is possible in various levels. And Brahma has created many living entities like that. Kumaras have created like that. They were born from the mind. From the mind they were born, the four Kumaras. So in that situation, Saraswati was the daughter. Brahma's daughter is Saraswati. And Brahma somehow or the other felt attraction for Saraswati. And that developed into a problem. So at that time, his grandchildren, that means Mariji's children, they told Grandad, Grandad, this is not proper. In the world, people don't act like this, that father gets attracted to the daughter. That doesn't look right, he said. Brahma got angry with them. So you're questioning me, my authority? So he cursed them and told them, you go and take birth in the demoniac body. And that's why they came as children of Hiranyakashipu, the six children. And that was the six which were slaughtered by Kamsa later. So in all these things, if you put the time into it, it will be very difficult to find any logic. That's why when you study Puranam, it's nothing in chronological order. When it happened, what happened? And if you trying to find explain it in a timely way, chronological way, it'd be very, very difficult. Very, very difficult. It's not possible. So, and the reason for that is, they don't have time. Time concept doesn't exist in them. Because time is a factor from Maya. So here also, you can see the same thing, that the Brahma is experiencing. He says, Sattvatmayo nidativismidam ativismidam astitobjam kalena tivra tapasa parishuddha bhava tvam atmanesha bhuvigandam ivadi soshmam bhutendriya ashayamayam sadadam vitadam dadarsha. It's the first time Brahma is realizing something. Vitadam dadarsha. First darshanam, in other words. And if you ask, how long did it take? No answer for that. Everything, when you go back, you have to look without time. Don't bring time into it. Time is a nonsense, actually. It doesn't mean anything. So in us also, in the similar way, many, many lifetimes, so many yugas, samskaram is lying inside all of us, isn't it? And in from that, you have to catch Krishna in the middle of all these things. So that is the yoga language, yogigam, it's called yoga language. And that is also applies to Samadhi Bhasha of Srimad Bhagavatam. Vallabhacharya calls Srimad Bhagavatam as Samadhi Bhasha. It's spoken in Samadhi state. Shukha Brahmashi in Samadhi, where there is no time. So that's why when he speaks something, don't look for chronologically correctness of it. He will speak so many things. And that you can see in that particular pastime, that 100 years later, what happened, Devaki is feeling the necessity to see the children. That itself is interesting. After 100 years, she is still feeling the attachment for that children who died so long ago, comes as killed them. And Krishna goes and brings them back. So, so none of these verses, we can explain that with logic and reasoning. That's the important thing. You can't explain them with logic and reasoning. That's why I say, Tvam Almanisha Bhavi Gandhamivadi Soshmam Bhudendri Ashayamaye Vitadam Dadarsha. You have to just accept it the way it is spoken there.
So, less like, say, Tvam Atmanisha Bhuvi Gandham Ivadi Sushmam. Like that, if smell of a flower is coming from somewhere, and you know there is a flower there, similarly, the smell of Atma is coming from inside. Who felt that? Brahma felt that. In the middle of all the vasanas inside, in the middle of all the material elements inside, Ahangaram and all that, what we call as the world, which is present inside, and in the middle of all his vasanas, this smell of Atma is slowly coming up from there. So, the same thing Manikyavachaka says in the, also in Tiruvachakam, he says, just like the, one smell, flower smells, comes around to everybody, in a similar way that fragrance is spreading everywhere of the Atma, of the soul inside. So, such an experience Krishna gave to Brahma inside. Sridharajana Swamiji says there, Sanmatra Rupena. That's the word he has used. Sanmatra Rupena. That means that Sanmatra Rupena means he is only experiencing it. He is not seeing a form. Brahma is only experiencing it inside. The presence of Atma, Antaryami, or Krishna, who is present inside. And so, first he is seeing that Chitsarubam or Chitshakti, and then he is seeing that is his own Atma. He realizes that it is not different from that Chitsarubam. Chitsarubam is seen as Atma Sarubam. Chitshakti is shown as seen as Atma Sarubam. Atma Sarubam means as his own very self, he is seeing in that way. And so, then from that chit is the creation coming. It is after that creation coming. So first self-realization has happened to him, and from that creation is coming after that. Then he noticed that ego, the mind, the senses, and before that mahatattvam, ahangaram, tanmatra, all these things have come about. And he started seeing next time with all these combined together, that is the universal form. First thing is, he is seeing it purely in the from Chit Shakti as Atma Sarubam, and that is the Virad Rupa Darshanam. And Virad Rupa Darshanam, Purusha Darshanam, Ishwara Darshanam, so many names given to that in Upanishads also. That is why you will see Evam Sahasravadanangrishita Karoru Nasasya Karnamaina Parana Yudadhyam Mayamayam Sadubalakshida Sannivesham Drishtva Mahavirushamapamudam Virincham. So that universal form which he is calling here as the universal form, Drishtva Mahapurusham Apamudam Virinja. That Mahapurusha, he is seeing here, universal person. Mahapurusha means universal person. Because, you know, Brahmam, when we address, Brahmam is addressed in many ways, isn't it? Brahmam, Paramatma, Bhagavan. But that's not the only three. There is more. He is addressed sometimes as Ishwara. It's all based on the different functions he does. Then he is also addressed as Purushottama in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? 15th chapter, Purushottama Yoga. So Brahmam, Paramatma, Bhagavan. Then he is addressed as Purushottama. Sometimes he is addressed as Ishwara. So Purusha Evedam Vishwam Karma Tapo Brahma Paramukham. ഏതദ്യോ വേദനിഹിതം ഇഹായാം സോ വിദ്യാഗ്രന്ഥിം കരതീവ സൗമ്യ. വേദം സേസ് ദാറ്റ് പുരുഷ ഈസ് വേൾഡ് ഈസ് വിശ്വം ആൻഡ് പുരുഷ ഈസ് ദി ഓൾ ദ കർമ്മം. പുരുഷ ഈസ് ഓൾ ദി ഓസ്റ്റരിറ്റി. ഹി ഈസ് ദ ബ്രഹ്മം, അമൃത പുരുഷായ ബ്രഹ്മം. And where did he see this Purusha? In the heart, inside. Hridaya kuhare yo veda nihidam guhayam. In this cave of heart, what do they call it? And avidya grandhi vigarati. That means avidya grandhi, ajnanam or ignorance inside, when that is broken and when it has completely cut off all the ignorance from inside, that means all the vasanas has to go. When vasana, because vasanas are there, we are not knowing the presence of Antaryami inside. We don't know that because of the vasana inside. Vasanas and the samskaram inside. So, so Purusha Darshanam, what it is called here, Mahapurusha Mahapam Udam Virincha. That Purusha Darshanam, which is called, another name is Chitsvarupam, Chitshakti, Chitsvarupam. And that is experienced in the samadhi state or in the turiyam state. So in vyavaharam, normally when we are in the vyavaharam state, we are normally annamayam, pranamayam, manomayam, vijnanamayam, anandamayam, the five sheets. All our vyavaharam happens in these five planes. Vyavaharam in the five planes, isn't it? So in Taittiriya Upanishad it will say that if you want to experience that Atma within, you have to go beyond these five coverings, five sheets. Annamaya Atmanam Upasankramya. Pranamaya Atmanam Upasankramya. That means you have to transcend all the five sheets. Annamayam, pranamayam. You know what that means. Annamayam means the gross body. This comes from annam. Therefore it is called annamayam. Then there is pranan inside. That means the food what you have eaten, the energy that comes from that, that is creates the pranam. Then there is higher than that is the manomayam, more subtle than the pranamayam is the manomayam, and which is our mind, thoughts, which comes from the help of Antaryami. Then there is a vijnanamayam, which is also intelligence that comes from there. Then anandamayam, above everything else, is the anandamayam. And Krishi says in the Upanishad, Taittiriya Upanishad says, Krishi says, Ahamannam, Ahamannam, Ahamannam. In other words, he says that after you go beyond all these sheath, which one? Annamayam, Pranamayam, Manomayam, Vijnanamayam, Anandamayam. Then you meet up with Atma. And when you meet up with Atma, what happens? You realize that all these sheaths also is him. Is not different from him. So that's why first you reject the matter and then you realize the truth, and then you come back and you say, including this body, ahamannam, 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 annado. That means this annam, this body is called annam, anna shariram, coming from the food. So anna shariram, this anna shariram also is nothing but that Atma himself. So you can see how the realization flows. First you reject all these things, then you realize the truth, and when you realize the truth, you realize that everything what you have rejected earlier is all the same thing. It's different from, it's not different from him. So that is called Purusha Darshanam. Purusha Darshanam. That means Annamayam, Stulamayam, Jadam. All these are Annam, Stulam, gross they are, Jadam they are. And from there you have started, and finally you ended up with the Antaryami inside. And when you are coming back, everything in the Prakriti, what you are noticing there, that that you are seeing there, that is also nothing but the same Atma inside, whole world in that way. If you ask a question, how do I understand this? If you ask that question, you won't understand it. It is not possible. You have to switch off the intelligence, switch off the mind to understand that thing. So, it's like this, that buddhi, intelligence is like you are sitting in the 9th standard and you want to know everything in the 10th standard class. Similarly, so in order to understand the 10th standard lessons, you have to require that buddhi for that level, isn't it? So, buddhi is that light which is this side of the soul. The other side, buddhi cannot help. Buddhi can only illuminate those things which are below buddhi. Buddhi cannot illuminate that thing which is above buddhi. Like Krishna says, Indriyani paranyahu, indriyebhi paramana, manasastu parabuddhi. Buddhi is above mind, but sa buddhe paratastu sa. Yo buddhe paratastu sa. He is above buddhi. So buddhi is below him. Which one? Alma. Therefore buddhi cannot explain alma. Buddhi cannot explain alma. Explanation means, not explanation, explanation is not the right word. In the Shastram they will call prakashanam. Prakashanam means that it can experience, make you experience. Buddhi cannot do that. So therefore buddhi can explain, buddhi can give you the knowledge of the mind, ego, senses and everything else in this world. Buddhi can help you to get a grasp of it. Buddhi can help you that. But Purusha, but Mahapurusha, Mahapamudam Virinja, who is above Buddhi, you cannot know by that. You have to know that by Sharanagati, by surrender. Only through surrender it is possible to know Him. To know Him. So that universal form, what Brahma has seen, and Prahlada is saying here, in order to know that, Prahlada is saying here, to know that, this Rajogunam and Tamogunam, both of them are obstacles. Because if you have Rajogunam, Tamogunam inside, even if you buddhi has withdrawn, still if Rajogunam, Tamogunam is in a person, it's a problem. It's a problem. That is why that story of Madhu and Kaitava, he mentions there. Tasmai Bhavan, Hayashirastani Vamcha Vibrat, Ehadruda, Adibalo Madhu Kaida Bhagyo, Hatwanaya Chudiganam, Rajasastamascha, Satvam Dhava, Priyadamam, Tanimam, Anandi. What he is saying is that Madhu Kaitava, Madhu Kaida Bhagyo, he says, Madhu and Kaitava, they came from the ears, Mahavishnu's ears. In the Devi Bhagavatam or Devi Mahalpyam, it mentions there, Shravana Malamayo, that is how they are referred to. What happened was, Vishnu shook his head. And from that ears, they came. They both came out from inside. And what actually do they represent? They represent the defect in our hearing process. Shravana Dosham. Shravana dosha means that actually they represent our ragam and dvesham in us. This Madhu and Kaitava, they represent the ragam and dvesham, attachment and aversion inside us. When you hear Srimad Bhagavatam, if there is attachment and aversion inside, accordingly you will understand Bhagavatam. That's why some personalities you will like more in Bhagavatam, some people you won't like them at all. And some people you will hate, like Hiranyakashipu and Kamsa. And some others you may love them, seeing their nature. So why these differences come in us? That is Shravana Dosham. Shravana Dosham means that Ragadvesham, Ragadvesham is they are. They are Ragadvesham, which has come from the ears. They actually represent Ragadvesham, but in the story form they are presented as Madhu and Kaitava. In Sridhara Swami mentions in Sridhariyam like this, the explanation to this, he gives there. They are Rajogunam and Tamogunam, this Ragadvesham. So, those who have got, these are called Shravana Dosham. Shravana Dosham means there is this problem in their hearing. For such people, they cannot get Krishna. They cannot get Krishna. What is the Shravana Dosham? Shravana Dosham is like this. You see these ears, Shrotraindriyam it's called, the senses of hearing. It has got a power. It has got a power. So, this in normal, in a pure state, this ear is capable of giving us the experience of the self. If you hear it properly from a realized soul, this ear is capable of giving us the experience of the soul inside. Because that is what happens normally when we hear a disciple or an aspirant who has practiced spiritual life properly, studied Shastram, everything. Eventually, when he meets up with a realized soul, all he does is, he instructs him on the truth and he gets it straight away, like Parikshit did, in the same way. So, but when that happens, when directly instructed by the spiritual master to that disciple, if his intelligence comes in the middle and causes problems, then realization won't happen. So you can see, if you have advanced through bhakti and you have developed knowledge, bhakti, jnanam, everything has developed in abundance inside, and if you happen to meet a realized soul, and if that soul, realized soul, instructs you about the one of the Mahavakyam from the Upanishads, it will directly go and hit in the right spot and you will realize the truth. You won't require any more anything. But if at that point, if your intelligence comes in the middle and start asking questions, why this, why not that, then it becomes a problem again, isn't it? So this intelligence coming across and making a block there, then it stops the realization. It stops the realization. So if the intelligence don't come on the way, then what we call as, you get aparoksha darshanam. Aparoksha means direct experience inside. It's not paroksham anymore. But intelligence will come. That's the way intelligence is. So this shravanendriyam or ears, it doesn't have the direct power. Direct power. So actually what's happening is, our shraddha shakti, the power of shraddha, which comes from the atma, from the soul, it comes through the senses to the world outside, isn't it? And when we hear something, it goes inside and creates a result from that. For example, when you hear the properly, like the way Parikshit heard from Shukha Brahmarshi, words of the spiritual master, the words goes inside, and in a first-class listener, Uttama Shrota, first-class listener, the word dies inside, the verbal meaning goes away. So when Shukha Brahmarshi spoke to Parikshit, at a certain point, it's not anymore the word there. What has happened is the word has disappeared, it is dissolved, verbal meaning is not anymore. That's why we are saying that when you study Bhagavatam, why did Sridhara Swami give the title as Bhavartha Deepika? You see that? The title of Sridhara Swami's commentary, in two ways it's addressed. Some people call it as Sridhariyam, because Sridhara Swami wrote it. Sridhariyam it's called. Many others call it as Bhavartha Deepika. Actual name is Bhavartha Deepika. Sridhariyam is, for convenience sake, people started using that word. Actual name of the book is Bhavartha Deepika. Bhavartha Deepika means, he is able to transmit his bhavam inside. That means the mood inside. There is no more verbal meaning, has no more significance in his commentary. That's what he's saying. Verbal meaning, don't take it seriously. Verbal meaning has dissolved. It's dissolved. What is flowing in the commentary is bhavam inside. The mood of Sridhara Swami. That's what is flowing through the Bhagavatam. That is bhakti. That is bhakti. So, verbal meaning evaporates. It evaporates. And what was that meant to be experienced by the person, what is implied in those words, that experience starts coming out instead of the verbal meaning. Verbal meaning has gone. Suppose he started experiencing something, then words have no meaning, isn't it? Words are only necessary to explain something till you get the effect. Once you got the effect, then you don't need the words anymore, because you already got it. What has to be transmitted through the words for you to experience it, only for that the word is necessary. But once you have experienced the truth, what spiritual master has decided to transmit to the disciple, if he has experienced it, then the words are not present anymore. They have already gone away, dissolved there, and evaporated there. So, but therefore, spiritual master, finally he shows the experience of the soul, he makes the disciple to experience that, and when that happens, all the words have all disappeared. They have dissolved in the spiritual sky, Chidagasham. All the words have disappeared there. That means Lakshyartham and Vachyartham, two things. After showing the Lakshyartham to a person, Vachyartham disappears. We must know this. Otherwise, you know, when you study Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam, if you simply going into word by word translation and get stuck in that, that's no good. Word by word translation anybody can produce in this world. Isn't it? Suppose you know the language well, both English and Sanskrit. All you have to do is to take the dictionary and find the translate equivalent word, you translate it like this. That is the Vachyartham. Vachyartham has to go from us. We have to experience the Lakshyartham. Once Lakshyartham comes, Vachyartham is dissolved. Vachyartham has no significance anymore. Therefore, it is important to know this. That is why when these translations, when you read, we shouldn't get too fussy about it. Because it is not due to the translation that you are benefited. It is by the message that you are benefited. People are saying that, oh, translation is not correct. That shows to us that neither of them have the Lakshyartham. Both of them have got only Vachyartham. And they are discussing based on the Vachyartham. Isn't it? Based on the Vachyartham, they are discussing each other. Lakshyartham, they don't. If you have Lakshyartham, you won't argue about Vachyartham too much. Because you are not getting the Lakshyartham, you are still disagreeing on Vachyartham. Vachyartham, you know what Vachyartham means? Vachyartham means based on the word, based on the meaning of the word. Vaka, that's where the word Vachyam comes. So Vachyartham is only, you can say technically to speaking, so that's the meaning of the word. But Lakshyartham is different. This is the reason, you remember when Prabhupada mentioned this, that you go to university and study Shastram there, you will get Vachyartham. You won't get Lakshyartham. Lakshyartham, if you want to have it, you have to go to realize to people. They can give you Lakshyartham. Because only they have got Lakshyartham. Like all these university professors who are very learned in Sanskrit language, they have got big, big degrees and big positions and everything. But they have no interest in realizing anything. They will teach you Srimad Bhagavatam. They will teach you Bhagavad Gita in all the big universities. But you will be as you are when you went in and when you came out. There would be nothing would have changed. That is the point. So Vachyartham and Lakshyartham does two different things. So it is from that point he is saying here that then Devi Bhagavatam, they say that when the same story in 2-3 Puranams is spoken in 2-3 different ways. So there it is. So in that verse it says Madhu and Kaitava are the Rajogunam and Tamogunam, and in Hayagriva incarnation, in Hayagriva Puranam is there. There Krishna has appeared as Hayagriva. And what did he do? In Devi Bhagavatam, the same story in a different way it is spoken. There it says that when Mahavishnu was performing penances, so there to kill a demon, that he had to go as Hayagriva. He had to go as Hayagriva. And there, that story is there, how Krishna, Mahavishnu had to become Hayagriva in that way. And there it says that then Mahavishnu had his weapon, Sharangam, the bow. He is keeping that weapon as a support for his jaw and performing his penances like that. Performing his penances like that. So, there, that's it. And the interesting story, it says there that in order to cut Vishnu's head, this bow what is supporting Vishnu's jaw, the demigods Vishnu has to get up. So, you know, what they did was, they created this earthworm around this bow, and it destroyed the bow. It started getting attacked by that. And they, in that, because it was supporting like that, when the bow was, and he was performing penances, when this bow got, what do you say, infected with these worms, bow broke and fell. And with that, Mahavishnu's head gone, fell and broke. They removed this and put this Hayagriva's head on top of that. And then he killed, in the form of Hayagriva, this demon. There's a story like that in the Devi Bhagavatam. So, but this Hayagriva is also a very important Upasana Murti. People perform Upasana for Hayagriva, particularly in Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. Sri Vaishnavas, they do that. Because for they're saying there, for the purpose of Vaksiddhi, that means the ability to speak, there are so many verses which glorifies Hayagriva in that. Apparently, I don't know, the people say like this, it is because the Hayagriva is like a horse, isn't it? Hayagriva is like a horse. And it is because that this worship in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya of this horse-faced Vishnu form of Hayagriva, and it is developed for the sake of this word power, vocabulary power, and ability to communicate properly. And therefore, the same thing came into English language, and that is how it has come. You have to hear the truth from the horse mouth. That's this Hayagriva incarnation in English. There are so many things like this. When you study Shastram, you'll find many things which in course of time developed in the language. And if you ask the question, how did it happen? Because it is an unusual way of saying, isn't it? You have to hear from the horse mouth. I don't know. There could be other explanations. I'm not aware of that. If you Google, you'll see a lot of things like this. In Google, some of the things are unbelievable. what they say. But whatever it is, that they are saying that it could have come from this Hayagriva incarnations. So, in Vedam, there is another story about this, that Atharva Rishi, from whom, through whom Atharvana Vedam has come, that he knew a technique by which, that means, that any system, vidya means knowledge, by which it's a Vaidika Samya, that means Vedic way of presenting that, and through that realizing the truth, it is called Upasana. Upasana. So, every sampradayam in this world, they have their own upasana system. When we talk about sampradayam, you must know this also, that it is not a set pattern, everything. It's not totally defined clearly, this. It's not like you have started a company or corporation or anything like that. It is a tradition that grew up around some great personality who taught his realizations in a particular way, and that sampradayam grew up in that way. So, and that upasana secret will be their, upasana process will be their secret. It will be their secret, rahasyam. It is their secret. So, and it is that upasana in that particular sampradayam is their bridge for the spiritual knowledge. For the bridge for the spiritual knowledge. That's how you understand that. Just like I mentioned before, that in the Acharya Swamiji Sampradayam, they worship Narasimha Murthy very intensely. And Padmapada himself was a great devotee of Narasimham. And similarly here, you can see that Sri Vaishnava Sampradayam, Hayagriva is worshipped very seriously. Hayagriva Murthy. So that upasana process, confidentially, you have to receive from a realized spiritual master. And that cannot be convey to somebody as a direct technique. It's not given as a direct technique because it is transmitted from the heart to the heart. A realized soul who is following that process of upasana, he has to transmit that from his own heart to the devotee who is following that process. And you can't explain that how that happens. It can operate in any way. Only thing is what you know is that it works. That's all you can say. It works. how it works and all, you can't explain that. So, all it does is, it removes your problems inside. That means all the obstacles of the problem with the mind and the intelligence, it takes it away and it facilitates your meditation process and upasana process easier. That's all what it does. And that upasana vidya. So, this Atharva Maharshi, who on whom Atharvana Vedam has come, he knew a technique like this in his upasana process. And generally all of them are considered very confidential also. Because the reason it is confidential is, even if you have spoken about it to somebody, you won't understand that. Just like I'm talking now, you won't understand that. I don't understand that myself. Because how can I say, I can only explain it, what I understood about this. But I won't experience it. And because I won't experience it and you won't experience it, it's confidential. Like Krishna said in that 9th chapter, Raja Vidya, Raja Gukhyam. Why confidential? Because even if it's spoken, you won't understand it. So it's still confidential, isn't it? You don't get the secret of that message. Till you get experience it, you can't say you got it. So in the same way here, so similarly, about self-realization, even if you have spoken a lot about it, you still won't get it. It will go on like this. We are talking. It's not happening. So, therefore, it is secret. We can very boldly say secret won't be revealed. Isn't it? Secret won't be revealed. You can keep on talking about self-realization, but till you experience it, it is still a confidential thing. It's still a confidential thing. So, only that person who got the mercy from Krishna, he will have it. Ultimately, it comes to that. Who has the mercy, he will get it. But by speaking, you won't get it. Or by doing something, you won't get it. Or if I give you all the books in the Shastram to you, you won't get it. None of them, you will get it. So that is why it is mentioned like that. Even while giving the holy name, it is like that. The person who is giving, first of all, he has to have it. And then, if the person who is getting it, if he is lucky, he will get it. If he has got Krishna's grace. Even the holy name. Person who is giving, he has to have it first. Even if he has it, the one who is getting it has to have the good fortune, Krishna's grace, then he will get it. Otherwise, won't. So, we'll stop there. It's 20 to 10, isn't it? 20 to 11 now. We'll have a few minutes, Kirtan.
Shila Prabhupada ki jai.